following is a KVON Sports presentation. It's high school football on a Friday night from Memorial Stadium in Napa, California, as the MEL match up between the host Napa High Indians and the RMEO Indians from Fairfield. It's homecoming for Napa. Good evening, everyone, and welcome into another sports presentation on KVON. Tonight it's high school football coming to you from Memorial Stadium. As the Napa High Indians hope to improve on a 2-5 record, the RMEO Indians at 3-4 as they come into tonight's game. And it's homecoming for the Napa High Indians, and we have two of the Napa High graduates who are with us for the broadcast tonight. Namely, Kent Fry, who will be handling our color commentary and does it in such colorful fashion.
Well, let me be the first to tell you, Ira, I was not a homecoming king or queen, so there you go. But homecoming's always a fun festival, Ira, and brings the kids out, brings a lot more parents out, a lot more people in the stands. It's a festive event, so... But football-wise, it's going to be great weather. It's going to be a great football game. I'm telling you, Ira, RMEO Indians are coming in here looking for a victory. They're not looking just to compete.
It should be a good
they
game.
They are looking for a victory against the Napa High Indians here. They feel they had a great chance, and the taking is now. So look for a great game here, Ira.
And the other with us tonight is our reporter on the sideline, as Jacob Grant will be roaming the sidelines, and he is a Napa High graduate. He's got to look at the weather condition for tonight's game.
So tonight's going to be around 69 degrees at kickoff, with the wind blowing in the southwest direction at 5 miles an hour.
Yep, we can see that from the flags there in the north end zone, how it's blowing, as you indicated. And we'll be set for varsity action. Right now they're just early in the fourth quarter of the JV game. And Napa scored first in the contest, but they trailed 20-0, or they trailed at halftime 26-14 after having that 7-0 lead. And actually, I think it was 8-0 because they went for two and got it, and then they missed on their after their second touchdown, missed on an extra point attempt. But RMEO has been controlling it since then, leading it 38-14 here in the fourth quarter of the JV action. We have some other scores to pass along to you, but first I want to introduce the other members of our broadcast crew tonight with the statistics. Dino Alessio.
I, alas, am not a Napa High grad. I went to Harry Ells High School in Richmond, which no longer exists because after I left, having achieved perfection, they decided to shut down the school.
Okay, and we have Charles Kennedy as our engineer back at the KVON studio. I'm Ira C. Smith, and our broadcast is sent your way with the good wishes of our Napa Valley sports boosters. Well, here are some other scores. First of all, an area that we're going to pay particularly close attention to is at Vacaville tonight, where the Vintage Crushers are playing against Will C. Wood for first place in the MEL. Checking on the JV game, go to Kent Fry as he has the final score in that contest.
Well, Ira, big win for the Vintage JVs over there against the Will C. Wood Wildcats as they won tonight. Big-time fashion, 46-0. So the Vintage JV is putting a lot of points on the board, and more importantly, pitching a shutout doing it.
Yep.
So a big victory for the Vintage JVs.
And getting prepared for next week's Little Big Game.
Which is just, how many times have we seen the, quote, Little Big Game? It's like watching two varsity matches. The JV game is just a tremendous battle when it comes to the Napa Vintage. And this is, you know, you have the Frosh, but the JV is even bigger, and it's bragging rights, Ira. And it sets a tone for the whole evening, sets a tone for the coming years and the coming seasons, and look for both teams to be well-prepared and battle-hardened. And after, you know, these weeks of the fires and everything else, they're going to be ready to match up and strap it on and play each other. That tonight, they got to take care of business, and the JV's Vintage did that, and obviously here, Napa's trying to make a great comeback here against RMEO.
And RMEO on defense at this time. There's still 9 minutes remaining in the JV action. But Justin Siena, JV's, defeated Sir Francis Drake 20-0. And another score coming along our way. And an interesting report regarding the eligibility tonight of James Robert, who was ejected from last week's game. And if you're ejected, why, there comes with that a automatic dismissal from the following game. But that was appealed. Let's go to Kent Fry for an update.
Yes, it was. And, you know, Jake was able to, you know, find out from Coach Leach last week in his post-game interview that the reason that James Robert was ejected is running out on the field after Vinny just scored a touchdown. James Robert is actually on the extra point team. Therefore, he was going out to be on the extra point team. The official saw him come out, thought he was coming out on the field to celebrate, and ejected him. Coach Leach tried to explain the situation to no avail. So Coach Leach and the Cam Neal, the athletic director, did appeal the process to the section and ruled in favor of Vintage. So therefore, James Robert is eligible to play tonight for the Vintage Crushers against Wilsey Wood tonight.
Oh, that is really good news, too, for the Vintage Crushers. And talking about the rivalry, last night the two freshman teams played here. And it was quite a game. Vintage came into it 7-0. They had not lost a freshman game. And Napa High was 4-1. And the one game they lost was a very close contest. And Napa won the game to give Crushers their only loss in the freshman ranks, led by Napa High freshman Brock Bowers, who was very impressive, and a little running back named Manuel Infante. So, Kent, remember those names. You'll be hearing quite a bit about them.
Well, you know, Brock Bowers, you were mentioning to me, I did not know this, but the son of former Crusher standout Warren Bowers, who went on to play for Utah State, received a full-ride scholarship in 1987 from Vintage Crushers to Utah State. Now a local contractor here, working for a local contracting. So Warren, I'm going to have to get Warren on the sports vine, I believe, and we'll have to talk about Jake and Warren and his playing days and so forth. But there's a lot of athletic blood running in that family there, Ira.
You alluded to earlier, before we came on the air, about having coached him.
Warren was a great kid, and my first year at Vintage High School, the fall of 1987, not only did Warren Bowers receive a scholarship, but you had Sean LaChapelle, Warren Bowers, David Ilsley, and Anthony Anderson all received Division I scholarships. So it's pretty rare when a kid from the city of Napa, whether it be Vintage, Justin, Napa High, receives a D1 scholarship full ride. And that particular year, Vintage had four of them, four extremely talented standouts.
Okay, so remember that name, Brock Bowers. You're going to be hearing a
lot. We'll be hearing it.
Yeah. The Vintage Crushers had some outstanding players, including their quarterback, Jacob Aaron. And there's a familiar name in the annals of some outstanding athletes from the area. This one happens to be for Vintage, though. And the last Aaron we had was from Napa.
The big-time names there, Ira.
Yeah, okay. Justin Aaron, and we had, this is Jacob Aaron, who is, of course, just a freshman. Everybody in, of course, the game, just freshman. And Napa's getting down close to scoring here in the JV game. They just had a pass. Looked like it was complete, but the officials saying it touched the ground down at the two-yard line. And another player that was looking real good last night, Sam Neal. And if that name Neal sounds familiar, it's with good reason.
It must be Gary's nephew or Gary's grandson. Gary Neal's grandson. Actually, it is a familiar name because he is the son of athletic director, Vintage athletic director Cam Neal. Mm-hmm.
So anyway, we'll keep you posted on that important game going on over at Vacaville tonight. JV game running long here at Memorial Stadium in Napa. Armio leading at 38-14. Still over 7 minutes to go. A lot of penalties in this game, and a lot of passing, and a lot of scoring, for that matter, particularly by Armio after the early scoring by Napa High.
Well, I tell you, Ira, and Armio likes to throw the ball, but this about midway through the second quarter and this third quarter, Armio is just running the ball at will against Napa. And their defense. So Napa's got a little drive going here, trying to put some points on the board.
And Jacob Grant has something to add here.
I have today in sports history. So in 1999, the Oakland A's came back and beat the San Francisco Giants in Game 3 of the World Series after the Loma Prieta earthquake. They hit five home runs to take the score at 13-7 at the end of the game. And then in 1979, my New York Islanders set an NHL record that stands today with 3 goals in 44 seconds.
Had to work that in, didn't he? Well, we're going to take time out for a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to hear about how you combine homecoming with the big game, because that's what Hannah Housley, the activities director at Vintage High, was confronted with when their homecoming was postponed, and their next home game is next Friday night, which also is the big game. And also, the Housleys were in the path of the big fire. We'll hear about how they contended with that when we return here to Memorial Stadium with more on our pregame countdown to kickoff. Well, right after we left Memorial Stadium to hear about our sports boosters, a pass from Napa toward the end zone was intercepted. And so Armio has the ball, and they're going to be working on the clock, I would imagine. They let it run all the way down till they took a timeout just before a delay of game was called. And that was their third timeout, so they have no timeouts remaining. And they get the ball back at the 8-yard line of their own 8-yard line. So Napa trying to come up with a takeaway here in that vulnerable territory. In the meantime, let's focus on the wildfires that were in the area, as well as combining the homecoming with big game week, as we heard last night from Hannah Housley.
Well, Hannah, I know it's a disappointment as far as not having homecoming scheduled, but what's the status of that now?
So in the second week that we had off from school, I was able to gather a small group of students. We sat down and talked about where our community is at, and where Vintage and homecoming and big game come in. And we decided, and we're luckily in a place where we could change our theme to fit where we're at this moment. And so we are combining our homecoming with big game, and we have a theme for big game, and it's called Crusher Strong. So we are celebrating our homecoming court, and where it's going to begin tonight by introducing who our homecoming court members are, and then we'll lead into Big Game Week with them a part of our activities. And our crowning is different this year. We needed to change it up with all the big game festivities and everything about it, as big as it is, literally. So we are going to crown our homecoming court at our big game rally, our night rally.
And that will be which night of next week?
It's going to be Wednesday night.
Traditionally, homecoming has been a week, and big game has been a week. Are you going to combine them as far as each day next week?
Yes. So we are really going with our Crusher Strong theme, with combining both. And we'll start with our first dress-up day on Monday with Battle for the Bay instead of Battle of the Bay. So that's our first dress-up day. We have Halloween on Tuesday, class colors on Wednesday with our rally, and we're doing the school parade a little different. We're going to be doing it on our school campus. It's going to be the most watched parade by our student body ever. And then Thursday and Friday will lead us into big game on Friday night.
Just a little aside from that aspect, back to the aspect of the wildfires, I understand that you were the one that contacted your brother-in-law, Adam Housley, who is a reporter for Fox Sports and Fox News, mostly news, I guess, but this would come under almost the sports category. So I know that was kind of a blur, probably, when you look back on it now.
It was a crazy blur. We, my family and I, Art and Judy Housley, and Eric and I were, we live about a mile apart on Silverado Trail, so we were watching Atlas Peak Fire come across the way rather quickly. And in that midst of us getting ready to evacuate, I called Adam more as a brother than anything else to let him know what was going on. And he quickly hopped in a car and came up to help us, as he does in our family, and was able to be brother.
Was he down in L.A. at the time, or was he over by Vacaville?
He was actually in L.A. Mm-hmm. He had actually just gotten back from doing a story in Vegas with the shooting. And so he came up back up, or I shouldn't say back up. He came up to Northern California.
So he drove all of that way.
He did, and he was there by the early morning and helping us out. He got in a car and got in onto the airplane, so he may have taken a flight up to come up.
Well, what can you tell us about how the properties came out, yours as well as your in-laws?
Well, we were very lucky, as so many families were. We had quite a big support system with our first responders saving as many lives as they could. My in-law's house is near Signorello by Oak Knoll, and we had quite a few friends come and help. The one that truly saved us the most was Dave Ilsey coming in with a bobcat and being able to dig to stop the fire from moving towards my in-law's house. And then their neighbors, John and Carol User, were also there to help out. And with my in-law's house saved, their house was saved. Our personal house is right over by Soda Canyon, but on the riverside. The shrubs caught on fire, and luckily Eric was there to put that out. So we definitely feel blessed with what we have, and are really ready to help our community rebuild.
Well, those are the comments from Hannah Housley. She's Activities Director over at Vintage High School. We're able to put that in because we have an extremely long JV contest that still has over 3 minutes to go, and Army is way ahead of Napa High, 38-14, and Army continues to use substitutes and run with the football. And, Ken, it's interesting to note, while Napa High has had large numbers out for football in the past years, the numbers on the sidelines for the JVs are not that big.
They're down this year. I don't know if it's due to injuries or whatever, but I'm counting about maybe 10 over there on reserves at the most, and usually you have about 20 kids on the sideline or so, 20 to 25 kids on the sideline. You usually have between 35 and 40 on your roster for JV and varsity, but they are definitely down. So I don't know if it's medical issues or just a lack of turnout. Not quite sure.
Well, they've gone through some problems this year. They hope to have those ironed out and have a smooth transition as far as going into what is going to be next on the football agenda at Napa High School. And I know that Chuy Martinez, his first year as head coach for the varsity, is hoping his team can improve, as they still have a 2-5 record. It's an important game going against the Army O Indians, who are 3-4, and they have a first-year coach as well, Anthony Gonzalez. Both of these new first-year head coaches had previously coached on the JV level at their respective schools.
Absolutely, Ira, and they know each other, and they know the programs, and they want to bring a winning program to, especially Anthony with at Army, really wants to bring a winning attitude and winning program, to that school. And I say tonight is probably one of their biggest games. It really is, because they're coming in here. I remember talking to Anthony after last week's game against Vintage afterwards. He was really looking forward to this game. He felt he has a very good chance to come in here and beat this Napa High squad. So it's going to be an interesting ball game. And Chuy, he just wants to get this Indian varsity team, get a big victory here tonight, get them prepared for the big game, and keep the winning streak going that Napa High has against Vintage in the big game.
And stay away from injuries.
Absolutely.
One thing that's kind of interesting, and I don't know if you have heard about this previously as far as anybody else that has done this, but the coach for both the JVs and the freshman, Bumper LaRue, same guy, coaches two teams at Napa High.
He's a glutton for punishment. Hard enough just coaching one. But hats off to him, and helping out on both levels there. That's a tremendous support to the head coaches.
Well, the Napa Indians have the football down inside the 20-yard line with just over a minute to go here in this contest. The ball is placed down at the 14-yard line. The Napa JVs, and I'm sorry, we do not have rosters for either of the JV teams, but they're going toward that south end zone, and they have the ball spotted over at the right side hash mark. So they're going from our left to our right here from our broadcast vantage point on the west side of Memorial Stadium, and there is going to be an offside false start against one of the Indians. Number 73 just jumped ahead of time. It'll cost him 5 yards. Napa wanting to get another score on the board. The Napa High Marching Band is here tonight. Came marching in. Always nice to see the band with the director, Mike Riando, in his ninth year as the head band director there. Napa coming up to the line now, and they fumble the football, a scramble for it. It looks like Armio has recovered. So, Kent, fortunately, that has been kind of the situation. Napa's had trouble holding on to the ball in this one.
They really have, Ira. They get down there, and, you know, between inside the 30 to 20-yard line, have a chance to punch it in and score, and then they turn it over. It's happened about three times here this second half.
Yep, they've had it in the red zone in there and just couldn't come up with it. So, we'll probably have about one play for the purple, gold, and white of Armio High School of Fairfield, and then that should do it. So that would bode well for Armio in the future with a really good JV program. Although Vintage did beat Armio when they played it. That final was 13-8. And the Napa JVs lost at Vacaville last week, 40-30. Now they're not even going to snap the ball there. They're just going to let the clock run down. Well, they snap it just so they don't get a delay of game, and that'll be the final play. So that ends the JV contest and ends on a losing note for the Napa High JVs. We'll be back in a moment and hear from the coaches for the varsity action as we set the scene for tonight's opening kickoff in varsity football as Armio wins the JV contest 38-14. Welcome back into Memorial Stadium here in Napa, California. I'm Ira C. Smith along with Kent Fry and our crew as we're getting set for varsity football action. Napa High Indians last year finished 7-4 and 5-0 in the league, but they're 2-5 coming into this game and 0-2 in the league. In fact, there are three teams that are 2-0, and that includes Vintage and Wilsey Wood, which are playing tonight, and the Vacaville Bulldogs. And then the other three teams in the league are 0-2. So if you have a tie for first place and you got a tie for second place, and that's it. You've got those two places.
It's going to be a log jam, Ira. I mean, after tonight, we're going to know a little bit more information. The key game being the Vacaville, over at Vacaville, with Wilsey Wood taking on Vintage. One of those 2-0 teams in the league is going to be beaten tonight. And then next week you have Wood versus Vacaville, Vintage, and Napa. And you can really throw out the records, Ira. It doesn't matter. Crosstown rivals, anything can happen in those big games. So I know Dina was trying to figure out, well, what if this happens tonight? What if this happens next week? And it's going to be interesting to see. After tonight, we may know who's still unbeaten, but it's still going to be a logjam at the end.
Well, we'll be finding out very shortly. And we mentioned about how Bumper LaRue is head football coach for both the freshmen and the JVs, while first-year coach Jesus Chuy Martinez has some really able assistants. For example, Robbie Steen, his defensive coordinator, what an athlete he was when he was at Napa High.
Absolutely. Robbie just brings a lot of energy to the coaching staff and good stability as well, you know, being a former player. And he knows the game. He's smart. Robbie's very, very smart. Comes from a football family.
Joe Ruffino works with the offensive lines, and we've had Ruffinos in the Napa football program for quite some time.
Yes, we have, Ira. Big time. Big-time Ruffino's there. So another, and that's what you want as a head coach. You want to have a good assistant helping you out.
And working with wide receivers and defensive backs is Alex Rush, a guy that we're familiar with who works with the defensive backs, a former head coach for the Napa High Indians, Troy Mott.
Yeah, well, Troy, I tell you, Troy's got that defense running solid. Their defense is superb, just superb. And that's what's keeping Napa in a lot of these games. A lot of these games, Ira, they haven't lost by too many points. It's because of their defense.
And about the only returnee as far as in the coaching staff there for the varsity, Nick Tedesco, is working with special teams. Last year he was on the varsity, worked with linebackers, but prior to that for 9 years, Nick assisted the JV program.
Absolutely. I remember Nick when he was a ball boy, you know, back when he was a little kid running around. He's been around football his whole life. He knows the game.
Absolutely. And working with the running backs and the linebackers, Jeremy Wooten, and a guy that works with linebackers and running backs also, Cale Olmstead.
And Cale just, you know, he's brand new at coaching. He's just coming off playing. But, you know, Chewy's asking some guys to come on that he knows, he feels comfortable with. And you want to surround yourself with people who know the game and feel comfortable with and has his back. So that's what Chewy's doing.
And working at the defensive line, Juan Martinez, a relative of the head coach.
Absolutely. You gotta keep it in the family. But, you know, again, Ira, you know, you got to have good coaches on your staff. And Chewy's trying to build that staff right now. With the situation that he came in and took this job, he's been up an uphill battle, and he's going to establish his own program here.
Well, he graduated from Napa High in 2004. And they had a pretty good team back there. Where were you coaching at that time?
2004, I was at Vintage with Les Franco.
Okay. And the teammates for Chewy Martinez included Thomas Sims and Mike Gibson.
Oh, just a couple of little football players there, huh, Ira?
Yeah, Mike, of course, going on and starring at Cal and then in the National Football League. And I guess it was his shoulder that finally forced him to the sideline.
Played quite a while in the NFL, and you know, just what a story, you know, Solana College to Cal and then on to the big leagues. And then Thomas Sims, who's now the athletic director, he was a great football player on that team. He played fullback and middle linebacker. He wasn't real big, maybe 5'10", 5'11", and just solid mass of muscle, kind of like a boxer. When I say boxer, the dog boxer, just one solid mass of muscle.
Little background information on Chewy Martinez, the first-year coach. He, he coaches quarterbacks this year, or he helps with that area. And 8 years, he was the offensive coordinator for the JV program. And 1 year, he was the head coach. That was just last year. That was one of the reasons that he got the elevation up to head coach for the varsity. And he also works security over at Napa State Hospital.
Yep, police officer over there. That's right.
Anyway, that gives you a little background since we had some time with the length of the JV game to tell you a little bit about the coaching staff for Napa High. Both teams are getting set to finish up their warm-ups. We'll be back and hear from the coaches in just a moment here from Memorial Stadium in Napa. You're listening to KBON 1440, Napa, California, the voice of the North Bay Wine Country. Streaming on the internet at KVON.com. And we understand, Dino, that tomorrow Charles Kennedy is going to be streaming the Swap Shop as we have the Sharks hockey coming on early.
That's right, Ira. So Charles will take his program digital and be online and taking calls and doing the show that way, because we'll be carrying the Sharks hockey game at 10 o'clock. And, of course, Charles and I will be on from 9 to 10 with the sports line, and we'll be recapping this game, and we'll see if we can get Steve Meyer to call in with a recap of the Justin game that he's broadcasting right now, and we'll see if we can get reports from American Canyon and the Napa Wood game. And, I mean, these are all critical games in determining who's going to maybe be in the playoffs and seeding and things like that. I think we'll have a lot to talk about. Plus, we'll have the World Series to talk about and a few other odds and ends. So it should be an entertaining and informative show.
Yeah, particularly that Vintage High game over there at We'll See Wood. That is, as Kent alluded to, that's a big game tonight. We normally would have had our kickoff right now, But since they had that long JV contest, gives us a chance to hear from the coaches. First of all, for Anthony Gonzalez, who's in his first year, he took over at Armio after David Casillo had been there for 2 years. Before that, Carl Finley was there for 3 years. Aaron Tolliver was there for just 1 year. But Kent, the guy that was there before Tolliver, was there for 8 years. And that was Mike Singer, who's now at American Canyon.
Yeah, Mike. Mike loves his football, doesn't he? You know, and it's great to know and great to see. But he was there a long time, Ira. He really was.
And American Canyon had the schedule changed so that they could play Vanden tonight. That was the game that they thought had to be canceled because of the wildfires. But they changed opponents for tonight, as Fairfield was to play at American Canyon. And the Vanden Vikings were to go to Corbis Field and play against Vallejo. So it's Fairfield against Vallejo tonight, and Vanden against the American Canyon team, and that is for first place in the league.
Well, that's going to be an exciting ball game over there. Be yeah. fun to watch.
All right, well, let's find out about tonight's game here from Anthony Gonzalez.
Well, Anthony, you're almost the home team. It's 2 weeks in a row you're here at Napa's Memorial Stadium.
Yes, and it's nice to be on this side of the field. It's a nice view, and we're looking to turn everything around tonight.
Nice football weather, too.
It's beautiful. Beautiful, Diane.
How'd your boys come out of that vintage game as far as scrapes and bruises?
You know, all things considered, they came out pretty good. You know, when we went into halftime, vintage is very physical. You know, and when we went into halftime, we were taxed, if you will. But I'm not sure what happened in the locker room. But when we came out for the second half, I was really encouraged with the kids because they were fresh and they were ready to go. And they came out and battled the second half.
Well, not only is this year's team one of the better teams that Armio's had in recent memory, but your JVs are a very good team, too.
Yeah, it's a nice squad. One of the things that's really nice, along with the bigs that we have, their skilled positions are pretty deep. We have some nice athletes coming up.
Got some good track runners on that team too. Some good speed.
Yes, that is true. That is true. It's fun to watch them play.
What have you decided been the highlight of the season thus far for you and the Armio Indians?
You know, it's I think just seeing the approach to the game that our kids have gravitated to this year. We're playing aggressive. They're moving forward. They're moving some people around, and they're having some trust in what the offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator are doing. They're buying into the system, and they're working hard.
Have you found this has also been reflected in your attendance at home football games?
Well, that's an interesting question. Our numbers are down.
Oh.
So that obviously has an effect on the gate. But one of the things that is nice is we do have additional supporters that are not just family members. It's a lot of people from the community really starting to come out. So the answer to your question is yes. Yes.
With the, I guess you'd say, lack of depth and numbers on the sideline, you can't go too deep, so you have to stay away from those injuries.
But that is correct. It's been one of the high challenges all year. You know, with the unfortunate fire and the break, you almost wonder if we had some chances, some opportunities to heal, especially after that Vacaville game, physical game.
Well, Anthony, you can feel good about putting together a good squad, a very competitive team this year, so we congratulate you on that.
Thank you, Ira. I really appreciate that.
And those are the comments from Anthony Gonzalez, the first-year coach over at Armio High School. And let's find out what first-year coach at Napa High School, Jesus Chuy Martinez, has to say about tonight's game.
Well, Chuy, it's been a while since we've seen the Napa Indians in action. So tell us how the team has been progressing through the season.
We've been doing a good job. You know, obviously last week had only two days of practice. It was tough going into Vacaville after almost 2 weeks. But this week, you know, we got back after it all week. We had good practices all week, and we was ready to get back out there again.
Almost like practicing in the summertime.
Absolutely. It's a different weather than what we're used to this time of year.
Tell us a bit about how the attitude and how the kids have been handling the things that are away from the program.
We used to talk about, just dealing with what's in front of us and things that we can control. That's our main focus, and not letting the stuff outside of football distract us.
Does that include homecoming, which is tonight, and do you have some players that are involved in it?
Homecoming is a little different. Homecoming is for them, so we let them enjoy it. It's once in a lifetime sort of thing, so we don't give them too much of a hard time. We just focus on making sure that they know that we still have to play a football game.
What has pleased you most about this year's team?
They're no-quit mentality. They continue to move forward. We really focus on the little things and staying together as a team.
Defense seemed to be a strong suit early on. Is it still holding up?
Absolutely, with the exception of last week, but that was on both sides of the ball. That was just the lack of practice. Our defense is definitely the strongest point of our team.
Have you pretty well settled on your starters, or are there still changes being made?
No, we're pretty much set on our starters. Biggest thing is that we're back to being healthy.
Okay, those were the comments from Chewy Martinez, a 2004 graduate of Napa High School in his first year as the head varsity coach. So, Kent, he's talking about appreciating the job that the defense has been doing.
Absolutely. The defense for Napa High Indians has, again, that's what's kept them in these ball games, even in the victories or the losses. It's been outstanding, their defense. And they're going to need it for this next opponent here. Army is going to be coming out throwing the ball. They also want to run the ball as well. Army has a very good running back. So they'll be looking to shut him down, force him to go to the air, and then they'll play that zone or man defense and try to pick some passes off. But one of the things that Chewy mentioned there, the injuries seem to be healed up, and everybody's whether they didn't like having that bye week, if you will, where everybody was shut down because of the fires, it has given everybody time to heal up, and so they are now back to full strength. And as you alluded to earlier, you just got to be careful with injuries and so forth. But back at full strength, they're healthy, and Chewy couldn't ask for anything more right now.
Now ready to go. Last week they did suffer that 40-10 loss at the hands of the Vacaville Bulldog. Armio lost to the Vintage Crushers of Napa 44-15 in a game we broadcast from here at Memorial Stadium in Napa last week.
And, boy, what a game that was. It was the Armio Indians versus the Vintage Crushers, or I like to say it was Armio Vintage versus the referees that night. A lot of flags were thrown that night.
You better believe it, Kent. I counted nearly 40 penalty calls during that game, of which about, 23, I think 34 were actually accepted, and then there were some others that were offsetting. But anyway, it was quite an, just to give you an idea, on my stat sheet, I leave enough room to record 18 penalties against each team, and I had to go over into the margin on the Vintage side because they had 23 penalties by the end of the game for over 200 yards.
And I know you went through it. I counted them, Dino. I know you went through 12 pencils on that game.
12 pencils and 6 erasers.
Well, this is the next to last game of regular season play. Napa probably not going to be able to get into the playoffs unless they win today and next week as well. Then they've got a shot. But they would only have a 4-5 record, and whether the San Joaquin section would take a team with a losing record into the postseason play, I'm not sure.
Pretty doubtful, Ira, but you never know. Stranger things have happened, especially knowing that the section will know that, all these teams in this league lost a game due to the fires. But 4-5 is going to be a very, very long shot to make the playoffs.
But that will be big game number 46 one week from tonight, and tickets are available at the Napa, the Bank of Napa, both of their locations, at the Bank of Marin as well, and at the offices of both Napa High and Vintage High. So this next week you can go in there and secure your tickets ahead of time. And they do ask that you purchase your tickets with cash only. Apparently they don't want to be bothered with checks or credit cards and that type of thing. They ask if you would please do so with cash. And, of course, tickets are not that expensive. I think $10 is the most expensive. And senior citizens are $5. Students are $5. It's quite a deal to come out here and join the community. And the crowd kept coming in here to Napa. Pretty fair turnout.
Yep. You know, with homecoming and the bands out here, it's great. Starting to see a few more fans in here. And even Armio has a good turnout compared to last week's. I like their turnout they have tonight. And again, Ira, you know, next week's game, Napa Vintage, it's a great time to come see a high school football game. There's nothing like high school football and Friday Night Lights. It's yep. just the best. Really is.
Well, Napa has won 10 in a row, 14 of the last 15, but that doesn't mean a thing.
Doesn't mean a thing. You got to throw the records out. You throw, you know, if Napa has a victory tonight and there are, you know, only have 3 wins going into this game, you just got to throw those records out. Anything can happen in the big game. Seen it way too many times.
Last year when Napa High played Armio, it was over in Fairfield, and Napa won that game 55-12 was the final. Armio has lost 49 of their last 50 MEL contests. In the series with Napa High, Napa's won 33 games. Armio has won 5, and there was even one tie. You know, that wouldn't happen today. They would play it off.
That's right, they would.
Yeah. And the last win for the Armio Indians over the Napa Indians was in 2000, and that score was a close one.
It was 7-6, so I don't know the box, but, you know, it was definitely close.
So that was 2000. Were you there?
I would have been 1 year old, so I don't think I was there.
Okay. Well, Jacob Grant is our sideline reporter, and going to have some extra duty tonight because we're going to try to sign him to pick up some of the pageantry of the halftime. Right now, the captains are coming out to the center of the field. We're just about to get this game underway, as we're sorry for the delay, but the length of the JV game, which was won by Armio 38-14. Justin Siena won their JV game over Drake 20-0. And Vintage, a big win over the Will C. Wood JVs, 46-0. And we learned, as Kent Fry mentioned, that James Robert has been declared eligible to play in that game. And that is a big plus for the Crushers.
Sure is. The Vintage Crushers leading ground gainer and leading rusher, and He's the key to that team. He really is, him and Garcia. But I tell you, I like the way James Roberts plays. I can't wait to watch him play next week. That's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, the official tossed the coin in the air, and we'll go over to our isolated eye here in a moment and find out the results of the coin toss to find out who will be kicking off and who will be receiving. Here's Dino.
So Armio won the toss, and it looks, boy, that signal was so fast, but it looks like Armio will be receiving, and that, oh, good, I'm glad I'm right there. It was such an abrupt movement the official made. So Armio will be receiving the opening kickoff, and they'll be attacking the south end zone. Napa will be kicking off and defending the south end zone in this first quarter.
Did we get the captains for tonight?
Unfortunately, I couldn't see the Napa captains. I have the Armio captains, but I wasn't able to catch the numbers on the Napa captains as I was obstructed.
Okay, do you want to tell us the Armio?
Oh, sure. So the Armio captains were number 2, Jordan Smith, number 3, Demetrius Perry, who's the star tailback for Armio. Number 16, Tariq Eid, their quarterback, and number 19, who I actually don't have on my roster, so I'm not sure who number 19 was. Do you have 19 on your roster, Ira?
No, I'll find him.
Okay, we may have to have our ace sideline reporter, Jake, get that information for me.
Okay, so number 19 for the Armijo Indians. We'll check on that as he was one of the captains. And one of the guys that is not a captain, but Kent, we certainly remember him from a great defensive effort last week, was David Reyes.
Number 44, he plays middle backer. And, boy, did he have a game last week, Ira. He was coming on every play anticipating the count. And he was in the vintage backfield more than the vintage back running backs were. He was a stud. He really is. I like the way he plays. He actually peeled in at fullback as well. Ira, you mentioned that on the air last week, where he did a great job at running the ball as well. So, yeah, David Reyes, number 44.
So, Jake, you may also find out about the program going on here prior to the kickoff, and as we'll be set here for just a moment, the band waiting to come onto the field for the national anthem. And while we have this chance, let me tell you about the starters and update in the World Series.
The Los Angeles Dodgers are behind the Houston Astros 5-3 in the bottom of the sixth inning.
And that series tied up at one game apiece. Here are the probable starters for Napa High football. Starting at center is Christian Sanchez, as he is a 5'11", 245-pound senior. On his right side, the right tackle, is Marcus Lex, and he's 6', 265 pounds, and he is just a junior. The right guard is Eric Castro, 5'11", 255-pound senior. He has had a little bit of a problem with a knee, but apparently he's going to be all right tonight. The left tackle is Juan Loyola, 5'10", 235-pound senior. And the left guard is Ethan Harrison, a 6'1", 240-pound senior. And the tight end, Cameron Ross, 6'2", 220-pound senior. So that line, they also will be getting in there, Logan Zampas at the right guard spot. He is 6', 250-pound senior, so pretty good size.
They are. They're really good size. And, you know, Napa, we've seen this, Ira. The starters, there's a lot of starters that start both ways for Napa, and that's asking a lot of those kids. But there's probably, I'll say, 6 to 8 kids that go both ways on that team.
Yeah, and some of these will be rotating around, of course, whether they're in there for the first series or the first play. That can be shifted back and forth from the sideline. In that wide receiver category is Isaiah Newton, a 5'11", 165-pound sophomore. And that last report, he was the only sophomore on the Napa High varsity. They also had a wide receiver, a fine senior, Alex Perez de Leon, that we will refer to as PDL. He is 6'2", 190-pound senior. Tailback is Brandon Herter, a 5'8", 190-pound senior. And the fullback is Dawson Trent, a 6', 220-pound senior. And starting at quarterback is 5'11", 165-pound senior, Caden Cortez. So those are the probable starters as given to us just before tonight's game time by Chewy Martinez. Just a quick look at some of the starters for the Armijo Indians. Their center is Sahil Singh, 5'11", 300-pounder. Their right tackle is Elias Rojas Cardenas. He is 5'11", 220 pounds. And the right guard is Mohamed Abushark. He is 6', 245 pounds. The left tackle is Jesse Mercado, a 6'4", 280-pound senior. And the left guard is Emmett Espino, a sophomore at 6', 285 pounds.
Big boys there.
Yep, pretty good size there. One of their slot backs is Luca Lewis, who had a good game last week. Another slot back, David Chavez. Demetrius Perry will be there in the backfield. And we had a couple wide receivers, Samuel King and Jordan Smith, and their starting quarterback, Tarkeek Eid. And we'll be back in a moment with the opening kickoff. Welcome in to Memorial Stadium. It's homecoming for the Napa High Indians as they host the Armijo Indians of Fairfield. tonight's game under good conditions for football action about to get underway. And I'd like to commend our crew for going through with a one-hour pregame. And I'll just explain a little bit of why we do that, Kent, because if people tune in and we're not on the air when we said we would be, why, they think we're not going to be broadcasting the game, perhaps. So that's why we stay on the air with that long pregame, but we're set now for the kickoff.
And we are, Ira, and we have an update already here now coming from Vacaville. With 2 minutes and 30 seconds left in the first quarter, Isaiah Garcia scampered for a 20-yard touchdown run. The PAT was no good. So right now with 2:30 left in the first quarter, Vintage 6, Woolsey Wood nothing.
All right, getting out to an early start in that game. We'll see what Napa can do here. They'll be kicking off, going from our right to our left. And for the Indians, getting set to tee up the football is Jose Acosta. He's a 5'8", 210-pound senior. Dropping back deep is David Chavez. He is going to be back at about the 12-yard line. He has a couple upbacks, about 10 yards or so in front of him. And here is the kick. And it's just a little blooper that goes back to about the 37-yard line, taken there by Perry. And Perry tries to find an opening, can't find a slot. And he's dropped for dropping back, getting a few less yards than he had earlier. He tried to reverse his field there and is brought down at the 32-yard line. So that's where we'll start as far as the first play from scrimmage. Kent Fry will keep us updated on what's happening with the Vintage Crushers and their game against the Wildcats of Woolsey Wood. Napa on the defense. And here come the Armio Indians up to the line. They have a single setback there for Eve. And he hands off. They try to get a quick opener in there for Perry. And he is dropped after about a 1.5 or maybe 2 yard gain, getting it out to about the 34-yard line. Just underway here now from Memorial Stadium as the Napa Indians are going toward the sideline, as there was an injured player there from the Armio Indians. And coming onto the field is Roy Johnson. He is a sophomore. They have a few sophomores on this roster, including their kicker, Juan Calderon, and the head coach Anthony Gonzalez making his way over there. Anthony has a son that is playing tonight over at Cal Maritime Academy. And I think that Mrs. Gonzalez goes over there to watch their son and then will be making her way over here to watch her husband's team in action. She was here at Memorial Stadium last week. That was last Saturday night, or one of the rare Saturday night high school football games. And
I'm not too sure who's on the ground there, Ira. I think it might be Damian Aguirre. I'm not quite sure.
Yeah, and I doubt if, well, now we'll find out.
64?
Yeah, that's Elias Rojas Cardenas.
Cardenas, yep.
And the good thing is he's going to be walking off the field under his own power.
And Ira, Napa's wearing those steel gray uniforms with a yellowish, goldish number. I would tell you, Jake, you're going to have to help me with the numbers. I'm having a hard time picking them up already with that color combination.
T formation backfield now as the quarterback has a halfback on either side of him. And Tariq Eid waiting for the official's whistle. There it is. And he's looking at second down and 8 yards to go. Putting Chavez in motion to the left, handing off as they also go to the left with David Reyes, and he stopped for no gain. Maybe have even lost a couple yards that they had gained on the previous play.
And Ira, Napa brought the house that time. They're playing in a 5-2 defense, basically, and even against this spread, but they were showing six guys there, and they brought all six right on the no gain at all loss.
Okay, when we have a chance, we'll find out who number 17 is, too, for Napa. Or check it. No, we've got that. That's Dawson Trent there, the linebacker spot. That is number covered up a little bit. Putting a man in motion. That is Chavez. They hand off, and there's another quick hit in there is that just as soon as Demetrius Perry got the ball, he was met and dropped for another loss.
Yeah, but Chase LaRue coming from that backer spot. They're bringing the house, Ira. They don't want any. They want to bring the house and just stop the gaps and plug the gaps, stop the running back. They're going to force Armio to throw. Well, if they keep bringing pressure like that, Armio, he's not going to have much time to throw.
And he can throw. We found that out last Saturday
That's
night.
Right.
But it's a punting situation now. As Juan Calderon drops back inside of his own 20-yard line, gets the snap, gets the rush, and they block the ball at the 15-yard line. It doesn't matter who recovers the ball. It'll be Napa's ball on downs, and Napa comes out with the football anyway, is holding it high above his head as he goes to the sideline.
Yeah, Isaac Castrillo, number 42, Ira, according to our roster, on that block. And he came untouched from that right defensive end spot, so Armio's got some work. They're going to have to shore up that blocking on the punt team there.
Yeah,
big block there for the Napa High Indians.
Trying to read the number two on the guy that was there to recover it, although it would still have gone over to Napa. And Cordes hands off. They go over the right side and get inside the five and into the end zone. A touchdown for Napa High. Look out there and see if there are any flags. And that was number 19, the guy that we were. That's Caden Cortese, the quarterback who did not hand off.
Yeah, he just rode the fullback and then pulled it right at the last. Everybody collapsed on the fullback. He pulled it, made the correct read, and then scampered in for the end zone for the 6 points.
Isn't that interesting that the Vintage game, their quarterback scored the first touchdown in their game, and here the Napa quarterback scores the first touchdown in the Napa game. There is the extra point try. It is on the way, and it is good. So there is a timeout now with 10:08 to go in the first quarter. And the score is Napa High 7, Armio 0. Well, that was Pedro Chavez that kicked the extra point, and so that makes it a 7-0 score. And getting set for the kickoff here from Chavez, sends it way down, but it is going to be a penalty because it goes out of bounds. And it will be a penalty against the Napa Indians not keeping the ball in the bounds, so the defense will come back on the field. And what a great job that Napa defense did in the first series.
Absolutely. They came out just showing blitz, and they brought everybody, stopped three running plays in a row. And then to top it off, they blocked the punt and got great field position and then scored on their first play with Caden Cortese keeping the ball. Quick update here, Ira, over at Vacaville, 10 minutes left into the second quarter. Wood has scored and converted the extra point. It is 7-6, Woolsey Wood over Vintage, 10 minutes in the second quarter.
Boy, I tell you, that is a battle for first place in the MEO. We'll keep you updated on that score, as well as covering the Indians game here, Napa High Indians and the Armio Indians. We're still in the first couple minutes of this contest, as the Napa Indians were penalized, and they'll kick over from the 35, and it soars way down. That is going to go inside the 5-yard line and brought back out now by Chavez. He tries to go to the right, can't go, goes to the left, and he stopped there and dropped at the 15.
Yeah, excellent downfield coverage here by the Napa High Indians kickoff team. Everybody staying in the lanes, attacking from outside in, and Chavez had nowhere to go on that.
Yep. Well, he started right, so that was covered up, and then when he changed direction, that had been plugged up too, and he is dropped there at the 15-yard line.
I checked with Armio on number 19. He does not exist.
Okay. Well, maybe we can find out from somebody else then over there if they find out who that is. The quarterback on that play, Eid, is going to be dropped there in the backfield. Lost of a couple yards, so that will mean a sack for Napa High. They got him behind the line of scrimmage.
I want to say that was Castrillo. I'm not quite sure. Jake, there's a is that 14, the left end there? I'm just, is that, yep, Frazier? Keola Frazier on the left end, yeah, 14.
Yeah.
Those numbers are throwing me for a loop here.
Yeah, those outfits are different. But they are commemorating the wearing the pink socks for this with the Beat Breast Awareness Month, or the Breast Awareness Month of October. Quarterback fires it out in the left flat. It's incomplete there. Pass was intended for Luca Lewis, the slot back, and went through his hands. It would have been a heck of a catch if he'd been able to hold on to it.
Ira, that front three, you have Frazier, Caleb Frazier, and then you have big Jacob Richmond. And then you have Solomon Tennant, man. Those front three for the Napa High Indians, I am so impressed with those three guys. Then you got the backers who are just coming hard.
Particularly the nose guard out there, Jake. Oh. Well, he's different places, but he's defensive line there.
They are tough.
He is fun to watch from a defensive perspective. Big third down play, 12 yards to go as the quarterback hands off. They try to trap, and they're going to lose yardage on that. Ridden back inside the five, but the forward progress had taken them farther ahead.
And that was Frazier again, who just stalemated his offensive counterpart and then wrapped up the running back there.
Brandon Herter will drop back in single safety back near midfield as Juan Calderon drops back into his own end zone. And once again, the defense was superb for Napa High. As the snap is a good one, gets his foot into it, end over end. It about takes a reverse bounce inside the 40 down the 38-yard line. So Napa is going to come out of here with a good position. They're trying to say that the ball was touched by Kyle Berryhill. What he was doing so close to football, I have no idea.
Well, then that, you know, it's everybody in football knows this. You yell, Peter, Peter. Peter's the imaginary guy. When you hear Peter, that means get away from the football.
And he went there to straddle the football.
Yeah, he was right there.
If he touched it, that means that the Army Indians could recover 28 yards on the punt. Excellent field position. The ball is actually placed back down at the 39-yard line. Napa leading at 7-0, inside of 8.5 minutes to go here in the quarter. And it's Alex Perez de Leon going from the left side over to the right side outside of Johnny Torres. Good to see Torres back. He had an injury earlier in the season.
Yeah, Chewy's called a timeout here, Ira, just a misalignment on the offense. They didn't know where to line up, and he had to burn a timeout here and get his troops, gather them up, and refocus here.
Yeah, the defense is doing such a good job. You don't want to spoil that with some inconsistency on the offense.
That's exactly right there. And, PDL was over on the left, and he started to come over the right, and he wasn't quite sure where to be. And so Coach Chewy Martinez said, okay, let's take a timeout here and regroup and focus and get our troops gathered up and line up correctly.
In regards to the punt, it looked to me like Berryhill did touch the ball.
Wow. Yeah, it was, I know an Armio, it's like they almost touched at the same time there.
Yeah, well, he went there and literally straddled the ball.
Right.
Anyway, Napa on the attack now at the 39-yard line with a first down, leading it 7-0. The pistol formation. Cortez gives to the second man going through to the right side. It gets a block outside Estrella. He's outside of the 25 where he's dropped about 27-yard line.
Brandon Herter on the carry there, Ira. David.
Okay, yeah, 20. Those numbers are very hard to read.
Real hard to see, yep.
Silver on gray.
Right. David Reyes on the stop, number 44. They just, Napa High ran a little cross action there, Ira. Faking one, the right back coming to the left, and then Herter coming back from the left side to the right. Little X cross action in the backfield.
Herter comes out wide left. They have a trip set left side, tight end, right side, and they draw offside encroachment coming up here against the Armio Indians. As jumping off was Jesse Mercado, 6'4", 280-pounder.
And, Ira, that's just good coaching right there. That's what you see on game. You know, when you're studying your opponent for the next week, you study the film of their previous game. We saw last week where Armio was just anticipating the count. Chewy said, okay, we're going to go on two here. Let's keep these guys off balance so they can't tee up against us. Good call.
So it's first and five at the 22-yard line of Armio. Single setback. And Cortez carries inside the 20. He's down the 15, the 14. He's hit there and dropped down at about the 14-yard line. Picked up the first down. Only needed 5 yards to do so and got more than that as he picks up the Napa first down.
Just a design quarterback keep, Ira. He's a weapon back there. He can run. They spread, like you said, the three receivers out here, bunched up real wide out here, and then just ran it up the left tackle.
Going toward that north end zone, as you see, the flag hardly furling it at all now. Very little breeze out there. Cortez working from the pistol formation, putting two men in motion, and that'll be a penalty coming up against Napa High.
Yep.
Yeah, they had two guys starting at the same time in there as the line was set.
Yeah, Herter and Torres were both moving at the same time. They tried to disguise it as a shift, but quickly realized that one of them realized that it wasn't supposed to be in motion.
That moves the ball back out to the 19-yard line, where it is first down and 15 yards to go for Napa High, with Torres wing on the left side. He goes in motion toward the right, and the quarterback keeps again. He's inside the 15, down to about the 10-yard line, and they have to get down to the 4-yard line for a first down. They're going to be short of that. It's going to bring up second down, but a good read there on the part of Caden Cortese.
Yep, just running that little zone option, and he decided not to give to Herter and Torres, and kept the ball, made the read, and pulled it. Nice gain. Second and six here, Ira.
Right at the 10-yard line. Under center this time for Cortese. As he gives to the tailback, going inside the five, picks up a first down, fights his way down to the 1-yard line, and he's dropped at the 1-yard line. Good blocking in there that time for Napa. As
I think that was Brandon Herter carrying the ball.
Herter, it was. Gets it down to the 1-yard line, so it's going to be first down and goal to go for Napa High Indians at the Armio 1-yard line. And Cortese has Trent right behind him. He gives the ball to Trent, and Trent plows in over that right tackle, between the right tackle and right guard, and gets into the end zone for the touchdown.
And they made it look real easy. Their running game is intact here tonight, Napa High Indians, that is. And the Armio Indians just don't have an answer for that right now, Ira.
Inside of 6 minutes to go, and we're still in the first quarter. Napa goes ahead 13-0, and we'll have Pedro Chavez attempting the extra point. As they line up, the ball is snapped, placed down, and the kicker slips and falls, still gets the kick away, and it goes through the upright. So it's two for two for Pedro in the extra point category. In that particular drive, Napa High went 39 yards after recovering that, getting that punt. Took them just five plays and only 2 minutes and 30 seconds off the clock to get into the end zone for the second time tonight. And we'll be back with the Napa kickoff in a moment. They lead it 14-0. Jose Acosta getting ready to kick off for Napa High as he approaches the ball at the 40. It's just a little pop-up, and it comes back, and it is taken by Daniel Soto Preciado, and he did not call for a fair catch, and he paid for it.
Yeah, Kalani Posey was right there, just kind of late, came in and just leveled him. Good, clean football hit.
And the ball is right at the 35-yard line. So the Napa Indian defense, which has been superb so far here in the first quarter, coming up there. And the Indians have been using Acosta to kick off and Chavez for the extra points, getting a couple kickers out there. Trip set left. Shifting over to the right side comes Chavez. They give the ball to Chavez. He tries to go outside. He can't get there. Napa swarming out there brings him down again. Several of the tacklers out there for Napa, with Dawson Trent leading the way from his linebacker spot.
Right, and Cameron Ross is there. Cameron Ross is playing that outside backer. Armio lined up and trips the inside receiver, went in motion away from Cameron Ross, and then he just came on the blitz automatically.
Loss of 5 yards on the play, and it looks like a loss of a player. At least there appears to be an injured Armio Indian down there.
Right, that's Rob Brandon out there, Napa Valley Physical Therapy.
Well, you want to watch Ede, the quarterback, in one game this year against Fairfield. He rushed 231 yards. That's the quarterback in one game, and that was some game for him. So you have to be alert that the quarterback does not keep the ball on that.
That's number 7, David Chavez.
Chavez, he's a big player. He's a punt returner, receiver, DB. That's a big hurt right there.
Yeah, they're taking time. Napa players going over to the far sideline, over the east side of the stadium and kneeling down. And the Armio players coming over, well, they're not coming over quite as far to their bench area. But Demetrius Perry taking time to get a comment from one of his assistant coaches. The Army Indians have a couple guys that they can use at quarterback, with Tariq Eid getting the start, but they have Juan Regalado, who is a backup and perhaps is a better passer, but Eid is a better runner. And Regalado is just a junior, and Eid is a senior. Well, coming off the sideline, but kind of holding his back, but walking under his own power, with Rob Brendan over there helping out. Rob
pulling double duty tonight, Ira. What a great, you know, for the Army O'Indians, attended to the Army O'Indians player. Yep.
And he does that for free for the school. There's a long pass coming, and it's going to go out of bounds. There was a collision, and they're going to call play as for Napa, it was Alex Perez de Leon going down there, and the ball was clearly out of play, and the two made a collision.
Yeah, you know, that's what do you call it? Do you throw your flag or not? And you can almost see the official thinking about it, and the ball was clearly thrown. Maybe that's what they're conferring with now. Officials are huddled up here, Ira.
It was not a catchable ball.
It was not catchable
at
all.
The intended receiver and the defender just ran into each other. And they're calling a personal foul against Napa High. That'll be a 15-yard penalty and a first down. Well, that's the biggest play that Armio's had.
Well, it does, Ira. It's going to get them out there close to midfield.
Yeah, that absolutely is their biggest play so far. Armio so far in this game has run 8 plays offensively, and only one has gained any yardage whatsoever.
Well, they gained 15 yards on that one that takes the ball out to their own 45-yard line. They're still in their own territory, trailing Napa High 14-0 here, inside of 5.5 minutes to go in the first quarter. And Eid takes the snap out into the left flat to King. Samuel King avoids one tackler, gets by another. He's down the 45 of Napa, cuts in at the 40, and is finally brought down as Samuel King made some good moves after the reception.
He sure did, Ira. There's a real nifty moves there, and great little screen, just a quick screen out there to him, a little flanker screen. He did the rest all his own.
Set it out in that left flat area and picked up 16 yards on the play. So for the first time tonight, they are in Napa territory at the 39-yard line at the 5-minute mark of the first quarter. Eid, the quarterback, looks to the right side, and his pass is complete to Samuel King. It's a similar play, but the reverse side. Instead of going to the left side, that play came to the right side and was well defended that time by Napa.
Brendan Herter playing this cornerback out here. He smelled that, sniffed it out. He saw it coming. He says he's going to have no part about it. Literally ran right through the other receiver who was trying to block in that play and then made the tackle. Great job on Brendan Herter to make that play.
And lost 3 yards on the play. So back at the Napa 42-yard line now. Single setback here is Samuel King beside Eid. Takes a snap, looks to the right, fires a long one down the sideline, and it is caught at the 15-yard line, I think.
Yeah, the problem is the receiver stepped out of bounds and back in.
Right.
And so this is going to be a penalty against Armia.
Yeah, and the official made the call through the hat.
Yeah.
Yeah, good call on the official there, Dino.
Yep. Very observant there, not only the official, but our isolated eye. And so that'll bring that play back.
It certainly helped that the official actually blew his whistle as soon as the receiver caught the ball, because at that point it's instantaneously a penalty against the offense. So I knew something was up, and then I realized what had happened, and then the official confirmed it by throwing his hat at the spot where the receiver had stepped out.
Yeah, where he caught the ball was down around the 15-yard line. So Army was going to be in really good field position had he not stepped out of bounds and came back in.
Ira, just a quick update. It is still, with 2 minutes to go in the first half over at Vacaville, is still Wilsey Wood 7, Vintage 6.
Boy, too bad Vintage. They had been doing such a good job on those extra points, too.
Yep, they really have. And so, you know, it just shows you how important it is just to convert that PAT. You don't want to lose by 1 point on a missed PAT. But you think about it, Ira, you got to have the snap, the hold, and the kick.
Kent, I'm shocked here. They marked off 15 yards on that for illegal touching. You'd think that would just be a 5-yard penalty, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I would too, Dino, unless there was something else that...
And Anthony Gonzalez may think that, too.
He's pleading his case.
Yeah.
The signal by the official was definitely the signal for illegal touching of the ball, so that's what they called. But it's, 15 yards.
Well, that takes the ball back into Armio territory, and they'll put it down at the... 43-yard line of the Armio Indians. They still have the ball, but it's second down and 28 yards to go as Eade takes the snap. Hands off. They try to go up the middle. Perry carries, and he is still going, but only going laterally, and is dropped right around the 45-yard line. They have to go all the way down to the Napa 29-yard line for a first down, and they have it at their own 45-yard line. And Demetrius Perry is slow getting up.
Right. That was Keola Frazier on the stop. And now here's Rob Brandon again. He should stay right over here on the Armio sideline. Yeah, that's another big loss if Demetrius Perry can't come back. He's a star running back for Armio.
That's the second time that he's gone down here in this first quarter.
In our game last week that we broadcast, Demetrius picked up 94 yards on 19 carries.
That's right.
Against the Crushers and looked very sharp.
And Chavez plays running back, and he was dinged up not too long ago. So
yeah, he was injured earlier. So two of their best players have suffered the injuries twice to Perry and once to David Chavez. You cannot say enough about the great job that Rob Brandon, Bruce McCall, and it used to be Glenn Hughes, too, before he retired at such a young age.
Yep, you know, just Napa Valley Physical Therapy. And Rob is the only certified trainer out here tonight, folks. So he is attending to both the Armio and Napa High players. He's doing double duty. And we've had three Armio players go down in just quick succession here. Rob's been in. It's good to see him getting up. Now he's in a sitting position, Demetrius Perry, that is, and Rob's still attending to him. But, Ira, the countless hours Napa Valley Physical Therapy has done for not only Army, I mean, Napa High and Vintage High and Justin. I mean, it's just unbelievable all the student-athletes they have treated over the years. Unbelievable.
Well, Bruce McCall has been doing it for 44 years.
Right.
And he has been doing it for Vintage High this season. Rob Brandon doing it for Napa High. And our... salute to Napa Valley Physical Therapy Center for sending their professionals out to football games for free.
Right, and then, you know, when they come in for treatment, their staff, the support
That's
staff right there
it
at the clinic.
It doesn't stop here at the
it
football field.
It doesn't stop
field.
At the football field. Then you have their staff helping out, and it's just what a community support. When it comes to the city of Napa, if they ever give out a great community support of the year, it's Napa Valley Physical Therapy.
Yep, to get our vote.
Yep.
So the ball is at the 45-yard line. We're ready to put play back in. It's third down and long to go, about 26 yards remaining, as Tariq Eid is going to keep the ball this time, and he's met in the backfield and dropped for a loss of about a yard in there. Several Napa players came shooting in, but Solomon Tinnan was the one that got him low.
Tinnan and Logan Zampa was there as well. Those front three again. You got Tinnan, Zampin, you got... Jacob Richmond in there. You got Keola, Frazier. I tell you, those guys are tough.
Well, that brings up fourth down, and Juan Calderon comes back in. The sophomore drops back inside of his 35-yard line. Herder is back to field it. Brandon will take it at the 25-yard line. Starts to his right, gets out to the 30, goes to the sideline at 35, changes directions at the 35, goes across the 40, and gets out. There's a late flag that comes in as Herden is hit there and dropped at the 43-yard line.
Yeah, that flag was thrown by the referee at least thrown 20 yards. Yeah. Pretty good arm.
He's giving indication of personal foul against the Napa team. Now, Napa's the home team, so they're getting the official to give the indication of the penalty facing their way. But that'll take the ball back, even though Brandon Herter had brought it out to about the 43-yard line. The officials will walk off 15 yards farther back due to the penalty. Taking it back to the 28-yard line. So at that point, the offense comes back on for the Napa Indians, leading it 14-0 now, 2:43 to go here in the first quarter yet. Vintage almost at halftime in their game. Caden Cortese, the quarterback, pitches it back as they come to the left side, and a quick move as they try to slice in for some extra yards, but Isaiah Newton could not get farther than the 34-yard line, but that was a good pickup on first down of 6 yards on the play.
Just a good old power sweep, if you will, Ira, just a reverse pitch out, power sweep to Newton coming around the left side.
Yeah, not too many blockers out there ahead of him, so he had to make up the yardage on his own. Out wide right goes PDL. And in the backfield, there are two setbacks for Napa, one of whom is carrying the ball right up the middle, and he avoids a tackle. There's a flag that comes out, and keeping the ball is Dawson Trent, and he gets up close to midfield across the 45 to the 47. They may have grabbed the face mask.
Yeah, there was another flag, and I think it's going to be either horse collar or face mask there.
Yeah, 13-yard pickup. Yeah, they did have incidental contact on the face mask as Dawson Trent was running with the ball.
Yep. He ran hard, made a nice cut back there. What a great pickup he had.
So that may have been just an incidental one.
I don't think so.
It's a major one. It's a 15-yarder, yeah. not the five.
The official signaled personal foul and then grasping the face mask, so that's a 15-yarder.
So that takes the ball deeper into Armio territory. We're inside of 2 minutes to go here in the first quarter. This quarter has belonged to Napa High, scoring two touchdowns, getting a couple extra points, and sending Torres out wide to the right side, a wing on the left side, and he'll go in motion. That's PDL. And the pass is going down the right sideline, and it is caught over on the right side by Herter going down that right sideline.
And Herter was just running a little wheel. They call that a wheel route, which is where the outside receiver runs a post onto the inside, and then the inside receiver kind of runs it out and then up the sideline, and that was Herter. Good patience there by Cortese to wait for him to break open, and then nice lob pass right into him.
So he got it all the way down to the 12-yard line after a 26-yard pickup on that pass from Caden Cortese. Minute and a half still to go here in the first quarter. Cortese puts Herter in motion, gives to fakes to Herter, keeps the ball, gets inside the 10, the 5. He'll get into the end zone as Caden Cortese gets the third touchdown for Napa here in the first quarter. And Cortese hands the ball over to the official as he heads over now to see what they will do on the extra point try. Pedro Chavez, a 5'10 senior, has been the one kicking. But they're lining up in the old water pick style. Let's see if they're going to try to go for two. And they'll have Herter there to hike the ball, and he will hike it to Cortese. He'll snap it to Cortese, probably, but we'll see here the water pick set up. And Napa putting it in motion. Instead of up to Cortese, it goes to Trent. And Trent is able to go to his left and literally backs in to the end zone. Dawson Trent got the touchdown. He gets the two-point conversion.
Yep, that's just a tough play to defense, but you got to count and you got to scout him out. And, you know, you got to be ready.
with 1:22 to go in the first quarter. Napa has 22 points as they lead Armio 22-0. Well, we have an update from Vacaville.
Ira, at the end of the first half, Wilsey Wood has scored a field goal right there before half. It is now 10-6 at halftime, Wilsey Wood over Vintage.
And the kick goes back about the 20-yard line, and advancing it about a yard from that point is Jordan Smith, a 6-foot senior. They have yet to put the ball back down, but he got out to about the 22-yard line. They're putting it down at the 23-yard line. So Armio takes over now from their own 23-yard line. We're still in the first quarter of our game, and they're in Vacaville. They are in halftime now. So far, Tariq Eid has been doing all of the quarterbacking, although they do have Regalado that they can call in, working out of a T formation. And Eid hands off. They go to the left side with Chavez. He's brought down just before he could make his cut. He needed one more blocker out there and then to make the cut inside the blocker.
Yeah, and that was Michael Blattis coming up on that stop from the corner spot.
At the half, it is Justin Siena 28, Drake nothing.
Okay, thank you, Charles. So things going good. Napa on their last score went 72 yards in four plays. It only took them a minute and 21 seconds to get into the end zone on that. They have been very efficient on both the defense and the offense side of the football so far here in this first quarter of play with a half a minute to go. Eid with a halfback on either side. And they go over the left side, get across the 25 out to about the 27-yard line. Short gain there, and I was blocked out from that as far as trying to...
I couldn't see if Jake could see you down there.
It looks like it was Dawson Trent in on the tackle.
I think Anthony Hernandez was the one that was carrying on that one. Not sure, but that's going to run out the clock. And that is the end of the first quarter here at Memorial Stadium in Napa. And our halftime score, or our first quarter score, seems like halftime, but our first quarter score is Napa High 22 and Armio 0. Well, Napa has done a great job of scouting this Armio team.
They really have, Ira. They're bringing the house. They're bringing at least five guys every play just to stop the run. Armio's trying to get outside on quick screens, quick pitches, but Armio's right there. The outside backers are coming up and just stopping the perimeter game. It's going to force Eid to go to the passing game, but he's not going to have much time. They haven't thrown a whole lot except for that quick screen pass out to the flankers, but Napa's been able to stop that. So great scouting, great preparation, and now great execution on the Napa defense.
Total offense for that first quarter, Napa Indians 111 yards, Armio Indians 5.
Yep.
Wow. Does that factor in the penalty?
No, if you take the penalty yardage away, Armio's probably on the minus side.
There is Eid back to pass. His pass is way overthrown, intended for Chavez, but Chavez had no chance to get it, nor did the defender, who's got some pretty good size, PDL, who goes 6'2".
Right. They're just trying to run a little pop pass, just a little quick one over the middle, and that ball was about 5 yards over Chavez.
Well, it's fourth down, and they're back in their own territory, so here comes Juan Calderon back out. He does their PATs, too, but the way this defense is playing, he may not get a chance to try that, but he's getting plenty of chances here from the punting standpoint. This is his fourth punt. Back from the 15. Oh, he drops the ball, picks it up, and he is going to be hit at the 10-yard line as the coverage was really good for Napa. And
yeah,
the
Keola Frazier again, Ira. He's just having a game tonight.
So I don't know if it was just mishandled by the punter.
The snap was a little low, but very catchable. He had to go down to about between his knees and ankles to get it, but could have caught that. Just mishandled, I think, is the correct term, like you said, Ira.
Well, they break the ball back out to the 14-yard line. It'll be first down for Napa. They had three touchdowns in the first quarter, and we're just starting out this second quarter. Napa sends Kalani Posey out wide to the left side, putting a man in motion, and he hands off to Torres. Torres makes the cut. Well, he tries to. Now he does it at the 10. He is going out of bounds. I think, well, he goes on into the end zone. He was not stopped. He kept his feet going. He got by one of the tacklers. Another one grabbed him, then another one. Torres kept the feet going and was able to battle to get into the end zone touchdown.
And, Ira, this is the first time I've really seen Johnny Torres this season. Jake, you were there. I thought he was out of bounds or down over there. What happened?
He was about 4 inches in bounds, and then he just turned around, hit the left foot, and planted it, and then turned into the end zone.
All right, right in front of you. Great job, Jake.
All right, Pedro Chavez is getting set. Newton will hold the snap, the placement, and the kick is up, and it is good. So timeout as we've just started the second quarter. And our score now is Napa 29, Armio from Fairfield 0. Well, Kent, I guess you could say that Napa High hitting on all cylinders here in this first half.
Yeah, they really are, Ira. We've talked about their defense and how superb they are, but let's talk about their offense. They're running the ball at will against Armio right now. Caden Cortez, he's either faking the ball to the motion back and running it himself or giving to the motion back. What's the herder?
Kicking off this time, it's end over end back to the 11-yard line. Taken there, they come out to the left side and slip and go down at the 25-yard line. As handling the ball on the return was Arlandon Prince.
Yeah, but Ira, back to, just to their offense. Napa's offense is just, whether Caden's keeping the ball, Caden Cortez on the option keep, or handing off to Torres or Herder. They just have it all night long. And then you throw in Dawson Trent, from that, they're solid. They're solid on offense, solid on defense tonight.
And of course, we're just starting. We're less than a half a minute into the second quarter. And Eads hands off as they turn the corner on the right side and pick up some yardage there by number 22, and we don't have him on our roster. So there's another assignment down there for you, Jacob. Find out about number 22. As we couldn't find out who number 19 was, maybe we can have a little better luck with number 22.
Well, I may have been wrong about number 19. It's possible that I was actually seeing number 16 because I've looked all over during the game and I haven't found a number 19, so that may have been my error.
Ede, the quarterback, hands off as they come to the outside with Chavez carrying the 30, the 35, and is forced out of bounds as he got close there. It was Michael Blattis that forced him to the sideline after a first down had been achieved.
And that time, Dawson Trent just came in on the angle, too sharp of an angle. He needed to come from the outside in, went inside out, and Chavez just quicker than Dawson Trent was able to get around the corner that time. Good to see Chavez back on the field.
Going out wide right is Samuel King. They have two wideouts to the left and a halfback on either side of quarterback Tariq Eads, who takes a snap and hands it off. They find an opening there for Chavez. He's to midfield. He's to the 45 and is tripped up. Then as he hits the 40-yard line in Napa territory.
And, Ira, that's just the right play call at the right time. Napa came on a blitz from Armio's right side, and they ran to the left where no one was there.
And this is a 24-yard pickup against a regular defenders, too. They have not yet put the second string in there on defense. So that's against they've made a few changes, but they're all, you consider, front-line defenders. Hand off right side again, and they try to dive in there, but only gets maybe a yard on the play as the ball was carried by Luca Lewis.
Which number was it again?
Big Jacob Richmond
22.
In there. Big Jacob Richmond there, Ira, just stuffing that play, along with another about four other Indians I just could not see.
So second down, 9 yards to go. 10 minutes remaining here in the first half. 29-0. Napa High has the lead. Armio with the football at the Napa 39-yard line, going to the left to the north end zone. Eads fakes a handoff. He is firing long down the right sideline. He's got a player down there and a defender. The pass is caught by Samuel King, and he beat two defenders in doing so. Well thrown by Ede, and a great catch by Samuel King amidst two of the Napa defenders.
Just running a little counter play action pass, had good protection, and Ede threw it up there. And there's a jump ball between PDL and King went up and out-jumped him and got the ball. Brought it down and scampered in.
King is only 5'8". PDL is 6'2".
Yeah, and King went up and got that ball over PDL. Great job, Samuel King.
Well, Calderon's going to get a chance for an extra point now. Snap placement, and his extra point try is up, and it is good. So the Armio Indians get on the scoreboard with 9.5 minutes to go here in the second quarter of play. The score now at Memorial Stadium in Napa, California, is Napa 29, Armio from Fairfield 7. Well, the Armio Indians get on the board after going 75 yards in five plays using a minute 59, almost 2 minutes to all it took them. And here is Calderon's kick coming back to the 14-yard line. Brought out across the 20, 25, 30, 35, still going to the 40, and finally, Posey was tackled at the 44-yard line. Nice return by Kalani Posey.
Yeah, I thought Kalani Posey was going to break to the right. He had an alley there, and he kept looking to his left. But a great return nevertheless.
We've got some of those Hawaiian names there. Keola, Frazier, Kalani. The ball was right at the 44-yard line over by the left side hash marks. As Napa offense comes back onto the field now. And they'll send Torres out to the right side. In fact, a trip set now comes out right side. And a single setback in the backfield. And Caden Cordes will keep the ball himself. Cuts in at the 45. He is grabbed there by David Reyes. And Cordes keeps going. And that's amazing. They're going to mark it back at about the 50-yard line where I think the whistle blew. But David Reyes, who had a hold of him, is, I think, the defensive standout on this Armio team. And yet, Cortez just kept going.
Yeah, Cortez just kept his legs moving and moving and moving. And you're right, Reyes is the standout of this defense. And Cortez was just kind of pushing him down.
I talked to Armio's bench, and they said that there is no number 22 on Armio's team.
Either, huh? Okay, well, we must be seeing something up here. The next play underway, Cortese's pass is dropped out, and it was a forward pass and not a lateral, even though it was a quick pitch out into the left flat area.
Yeah, trying to set up PDL, just a little quick hitch, just like you said, two steps up, one step back, and hit him right in the numbers, but couldn't hang on to it.
Okay. Yeah, we're looking around it. Maybe, you know, somebody, when their shirts get bumped up, it kind of changes the number. That must have been what happened on those two numbers that we could not find. So thanks for clarifying that, Jacob Grant, our sideline reporter. Napa looks at third down and about 4 yards to go now, and they draw him offside for a first down. What a good cadence there as Mohammed Abushak was the one that jumped offside.
And that's an easy first down. You just got to take it. If they're going to give it to you, you take it. So instead of a third and four, now you had a first and 10. And that's just a great play call. Go on two.
That puts the ball into Armio territory at the 45-yard line. We're in the second quarter now with 8.5 minutes to go, and Napa leading Armio 29-7. Napa with the football, sending PDL out wide to the left side. Otherwise, it's a tight formation. And it is Herden carrying off left tackle inside of the 40-yard line. He goes. This needs to get down to the 35-yard line for a first down.
And Ira Napa can just run on these guys at will. Here's another 6 yards crack on a first down. You know, you're averaging over 4 yards a pop on first downs. That's, you just got to keep the ball on the ground and pound it.
They've been very successful in doing that. As we mentioned about the size of the line. Here's the I formation, power to the right side, and he draws him offside again on that cadence.
See,
and this time it was Sahil Singh.
Is that, or are they going to call Logan Zampa for jumping? Let's see what happens here.
if he drew the defense offside. Well, I just noticed that Sahil Singh had come across.
Yep, they're going to back Napa up.
Yeah. Illegal procedure there. False start. And the
Well, now they're changing their mind.
Well, they're after making the call, the official is conferring with another official, and he's saying now it's against Armio in an encroachment against the defense. So that gives him another first down.
You know, Ira, I think your original call is right that they drew the Armio defense jumped. I thought Logan Zampa from Napa High had jumped the offensive right guard, but it was the Armio defense jumping first.
So at the 8-minute mark, Napa gets another first down here in the second quarter from the 34-yard line in Armio territory, leading at 29-7. And Cortese getting under center this time from the I formation, power to the left. They go to the left side and breaks one tackle. Does Isaiah Newton hit by another and dropped as he gets close to the 26-yard line.
And again, Ira, there's another 6, 7, 8 yards right there on first down.
They, you know, Newton can be a quarterback, too.
Yes.
He's been a wide receiver and put him in different slots out there.
Newton's a good weapon to have on the offense. You know, you give Herter a break, you put Cortese a break, and you just hand it off to him. Of course, you got Dawson Trent as well. Now you got Torres in the action here.
Yeah, about equal distance from either side hash marks now as they're up there at the 26-yard line. And the tailback Herter carries inside the 25, and he's thrown back a couple yards.
David Reyes on the stop.
David Reyes, 6-foot, 225-pounder.
Another first down for Napa High Indians here.
They're keeping possession and advancing the ball deeper into Armio territory. In case you missed it, Vintage trailing at halftime up there at Vacaville against Will C. Wood. 10-6, the Wood Wildcats in the lead over the Vintage Crushers. Double wides out to either side now, and a single setback there is Dawson Trent. And Trent is carrying over his left tackle. Keeps going. Good work to the 16-yard line as he followed that block and was able to pick up some extra yards just because he read the block well.
Absolutely. In the front offensive line for Napa High Indians, you know, you got Logan Zampa there, Jacob Richmond, just to name a few. But they're just doing a great job out there. Juan Loyola, it looks like, out there. Again, it's hard for me to see these numbers, but they're moving the ball. There's another 8 yards on a first down, Ira.
Yep. Eric Castro, the right guard, helped out on that as well.
Their first down yardage would, I don't know if Dino has that stat or not, but that would be something to see.
Dawson Trent is the only setback there as Cortese is going to keep the ball himself. He goes on an angle, then he cuts in, and they're getting to him with David Reyes and slings him down to the ground inside of the 15-yard line. It's another first down for Napa. Comes with 6 minutes to go here in the first half.
Yeah, Cortese was just kind of juking and jiving and just trying to find the right hole, and he's very patient. Only about a 4-yard gain for a first down, but, boy, he took his time just finding those 4 yards. Good job, Caden Cortese.
And Reyes was over there quickly flowing to get the tackle. Cortese is going to be under center on this play. Putting the wingman in motion, giving the second man. Herter coming through, gets inside the 10. Flag on the play. It looks like a hold coming up against Napa High as Herter had his face mask grabbed. Let's see if the officials saw that, too.
It might be two different flags here. It might be a hold and a face mask.
Well, the officials will sort that out. But it looked like there definitely was a face mask. Personal foul, grabbing the face mask. That's against the defense. And I guess
that was the only signal.
Yeah, he didn't signal what the other penalty was.
Well, maybe both officials saw the same thing.
That must have been it. So it's half the distance to the goal and first down on the play to take it to the 4-yard line. First and goal to go for the Napa Indians, already leading it 29-7. Napa has basically been running with Dawson Trent there in the backfield. Last time they had two setbacks there.
Yeah, Dawson Trent and Herter getting a lot of the carries.
Michael Blattis is back in there now at the tailback. And there's a jump off the right side by Zampa.
Yep, Logan Zampa, right guard. That's the second time he's kind of jumped there.
Yeah. Yeah, so he was out there right guard instead of Eric Castro in that play. So it takes the ball back out to the 9-yard line. Still first down and goal to go. But they're, instead of the 4-yard line, they're out to the back out to the 9-yard line. Showing a different formation there, and they had different players in the backfield, with Michael Blattis being the tailback on this one, and they have Chase LaRue as the fullback. Long count at the line, and they give is to the tailback, and he goes in without being touched. How about that for Michael Blattis?
He really did, Ira. Right. You're right. He was not touched at all.
Yeah, he just went right through the opening that line made for him, and just didn't have to do too much zigging or zagging as he read the lane that was made for him and went right into the end zone.
Yeah, they just ran basically an isolation play with the lead back, fullback leading up the way, went right over the between guard and tackle on the right side.
Isaiah Newton to hold. Pedro Chavez to kick as the extra point attempt is on the way. And it is good. So the Napa Indians get another touchdown, and they add the extra point. With 4 minutes and 44 seconds still remaining in the first half, our score at Memorial Stadium now is Napa High 36, Army 07. Well, I'll tell you, this Napa team putting on quite a homecoming demonstration.
Yeah, they really are. And I see the homecoming queen candidates are sort of starting to line up here as we get ready for halftime. But, Ira, they are putting on a show, the Napa High Indians offense, running at will against Armio.
There's a kick, a wobbly kick, and that's going to be a penalty. Goes out of bounds at about the 20-yard line. Not getting a good kick. That time they went back to Jose Acosta on the kickoff. The previous kickoff was by Pedro Chavez, who has been kicking the extra points.
Well, they may want to go back to Chavez. That kickoff was pretty way left on the sidelines there.
The other one that went that direction also was off the toe of Acosta. So see who's going to – Acosta – still out there to no. Let's see. No. They put Pedro Chavez out there to kick off now. So after being penalized 5 yards, let's see how many: 2, 4, 6,
yep,
8, 10, 11. Yeah, they got the 11 out there. They were a little slow in getting out onto the field. Now they're set, and so Chavez is set as well to kick off as. He approaches the ball at the 35, sends it way back. Oh, that is a dandy. That'll go back into the end zone, and that'll be a touchback at the 20-yard line. Boy, he's got some distance.
He really does. Yeah, that's a boot and a half right there.
Yeah, as he goes back, picks up the kicking tee, kind of prances off the field.
He's just a little guy, too.
Yeah, well, he's about 5'10". At least he's listed at 5'10".
He may be listed. I bet he's listed at, I don't know what he's listed at, but I bet he doesn't weigh a buck 20.
Well, I tell you, the guy that we enjoyed watching last night in the freshman game was listed at 5'6". That was Manuel Infante of the Napa freshman team, and he was really fun to watch, too. So we're set now as Armio puts the ball in play, and they try to run it up the middle, but they did not trap the defense. The defense fought right through the blocks and brings him down right at the line of scrimmage.
Ira, another quick update from Vacaville. Wood has intercepted Isaiah Garcia another time here and then went on to capitalize. It is 16-6 in the third quarter. We'll see Wood over Vintage.
Ooh. That'll take some of the glitz off of next week's big game.
Well, there's still a lot of time left over there. It sounds like the Vintage offense is having a hard time clicking against the Wood defense.
It's going to be a good game next week, that's for sure. Could be, depending on the situation, a chance to get into the playoffs. high snap but brought down, and the player is brought down as the ball was handed off to David Reyes.
Yeah.
And he just couldn't go anyplace.
No, Brandon Herter brought him down, and how he brought him down is wow. Right around the ankles.
Yeah.
Brandon went down low. Just or wasn't Brandon, excuse me. It was, I think it's 29, Jake. Berryhill. Kyle Berryhill is the one who brought him down.
He's about 190. Reyes is 225. 3.5 minutes to go till halftime. See, we're still in the second quarter with a 36-7 lead. If Napa gets another touchdown, why, they could conceivably use a running clock in the third quarter. It becomes mandatory in the fourth quarter if you have a 35-point lead or more. Going to the right side is Lucas Lewis, and he drops. No, he was just dropped. I thought he was losing the football, but he was holding on to it as he went down.
Yeah, Napa's defense just came swarming up on that. Armio trying to run the east-west offense, just a fly sweep, and Napa's defense outside containment and then good support to swarm to the ball tackler.
Calderon comes back in. The sophomore will be in there on defense. He's the guy that's been doing their kicking. He's back in there at a safety. Well, he's back. No, he's, pardon me, he's just back here to punt. That's right. This is fourth down, so he comes in to punt, drops back inside of the 5-yard line. So they get into their punt formation. There's the snap. He drops the ball again, picks it up, and he got it away without it being blocked, but it goes about straight up in the air, and it hits one of the Armio players down at about the 34-yard line, and it'll be downed at that point.
Goodness, that was right there in his hands. That was a great snap. He just dropped it.
Yeah. He was lucky to get rid of the ball.
He really was. I thought Napa was going to actually recover it or block it.
Yeah. But it's 17 yards on the punt.
I'm not sure where they're marking the ball.
Yeah, they haven't really set it down yet. I thought it was the 34-yard line, but there was a penalty on the play as well, and it's going to go against Armio. I don't know what the penalty was, as the official gave it to the other sideline, and we could not. It's a false start, and it's declined by Napa. With 2:17 to go, Napa has a chance to get beyond that 35-point lead. And what you have is the option with the two coaches, if they agree in the third quarter and there is a 35-point difference or greater, they can agree to use a running clock in the third quarter. If there is a 35-point lead or greater in the fourth quarter, it is automatic. You do use a running clock at that point. So that is a consideration. While this first half has been slow moving along, part of that due to the length of the JV game,
right?
You can have a very speedy second half.
We could hear, I don't know if the coach for Armio would want to go to a running clock or not. Comes to a matter of pride, if you will.
Yeah. Just a reminder, you're listening to KVON 1440. Napa, California, the voice of the North Bay wine country, and we stream on the internet at kvon.com. Napa gets the ball at the 32-yard line as they come up with 2 minutes and 17 seconds remaining here in the first half. The quarterback, Caden Cortese, has gone all the way here in the first half as hands the ball off. They swing to the left side. Newton carries the 30, the 25, goes to the sideline and is wrestled out of bounds by guess who? That was David Reyes all the way over there. Boy, he really moves around.
Yeah, Newton did a great job just breaking free, made one move to the inside, then back to the out. Reyes had to chase him all the way down across the field, which he did, though.
Yeah, 15-yard pickup on that play by Isaiah Newton. So first down for Napa with just over 2 minutes to go here in the second quarter. Cortese takes the snap, rolls to his right, looking to throw, throws on the run, and it is caught at the 7-yard line, and then he goes down but holds onto the ball, does Alex Perez de Leon.
Yeah, that time PDL just ran a little curl, found the open zone, sat down, squatted, and then Cortese found him for the completion.
Inside of 2 minutes to go here in the half, so plenty of time yet to get into the end zone. Cortese looks, fires it toward the end zone, and it's a jump ball in there, and it's caught, touchdown. That was the far end of it, so right in front of Jacob. So tell us about that, Jacob.
PDL on the catch.
He's much taller. He's got bigger hands. He just was able to keep him on the ball and bring him down.
Okay, so PDL, who had caught the earlier pass, catches that one for the touchdown.
I think PDL was a little upset because he got out-jumped by Samuel King on the Army's touchdown. He wanted to make sure he was going to go up and get that one. Good ball by Cortez, Ira, just to throw it up there. And he could catch it.
He had to be right on target for that one. So we're going to attempt the extra point from Chavez. Newton to hold. No, Newton picks the ball up, and he's going to run with it. He is tripped up there at the 10-yard line, tripped up by Arlandon Prince.
Yeah, snap was just a little low, and Newton couldn't quite grab it, so he had to pick a ball up and go.
Well, anyway, they do get a touchdown, and they do lead by 35 points. The coaches will have that option. The officials at halftime will be checking with them. Keep in mind, too, that it is homecoming, and so halftime may go a little longer than usual. They usually allow extra time for halftime. So the coach for Armijo, Anthony Gonzalez, may not mind a running clock in that second half. It becomes mandatory in the fourth quarter if a team trails by 35 or more points in the fourth quarter. And both coaches have to agree on a running clock prior to that fourth quarter. So Chavez, who did not have an opportunity to kick that extra point attempt, will be kicking off again here with a minute 49 to go in the half. Another good kick going back to the 2-yard line. Taken there, brought out the 10, 15, 20, change of direction, 25-yard line, and a scrum there as the, you look like,
the whole kickoff team there.
Everybody was around there, around the bulk carrier who, that was Arlandon Prince. Just no place for him to go.
No, he wasn't. He made a nice cut and then ran into a wall of Indians.
There is a flag way back down at the 46-yard line. Oh, maybe it's a bananas. You know, they pick it up and throw it to the official.
Could be a sideline warning. What is it?
I don't know, but apparently they're not calling it for anything as the official tucks it back into his belt.
It was a sideline warning.
Okay.
Okay, thank you. Minute 39 to go here in the second quarter of play. Napa, in all probability, will be doing some substituting quite a bit in that second half. The quarterback, he keeps the ball, and he is swarmed on and dropped to the 25-yard line for no gain on the play. They have to get out to the 35 for a first down.
Dawson Trent coming from the backside blitz on that, along with some others.
Well, Armijo may be content to just run out the clock back here. They're in their own territory at the 25-yard line with a minute 15 to go, so they may take as much time as possible to run that clock down, not give good field position to the Napa Indians. Tariq Eid, the quarterback, with a halfback on either side, and he fakes. You know, he actually handed it off to Dave Reyes and put a fake in, but there was a whistle before that.
Flag here on the near side. Someone's offsides for Napa.
Well, I'm not sure. See. Could have been a false start there. Now Napa's starting to back up now. Yeah, encroachment against Napa High. So that's a 5-yard penalty against Napa. We're in the final minute. No, it's not the third quarter or the fourth quarter. It's still the second quarter of play, and the ball is out to the 31-yard line. So at that point, Armijo has second down and 5 yards to go. Eid, the quarterback, fakes a handoff. He runs 30, 35, 40. He's got one man to beat. He's midfield, down the sideline, the 30, the 20, down to the 10. And nobody's going to catch him. And eats and goes 69 yards for the touchdown. A few weeks ago against Fairfield, he rushed for 231 yards in one game. and picks up nearly 70 yards on that play.
And what a great play. They just ran that little zone read option. He faked the fake, a great fake, and then just kept the ball, turned the corner, and off he was going. And great downfield block on the receiver, and he just yep. outran everybody.
Yeah, that one guy that had a shot at him just could not keep up with
him. Couldn't get him going. No, he outran him.
Here's Juan Calderon ready to attempt the extra point for Armijo as the snap, the placement, and the kick nearly blocked, and there's going to be a penalty against Napa running into the kicker. The extra point was good, so the penalty will be assessed on the kickoff.
Yeah, I think that was Solomon Tennant coming in. You got to take the angle with the ball. If you're going to come in on that angle, you can't come toward the kicker, but about 2 yards in front of the kicker where the ball is going to be, and that's where you want to make your block.
Yeah. So with 42 seconds to go, Napa will be penalized on the kickoff. With that extra point, it's now 42-14, so it is not now a let's see, what is it now? It is 28 points, so Napa would need another touchdown to get to 35. So that is academic. So it will not be a running clock unless Napa can run this back or get on the scoreboard again here in this first half. But anyway, the ball will be teed up at the 45-yard line of Napa to kick off Napa. So Calderon can definitely send this into the end zone if he would like to. Posey is standing back here just about on the end line, and to his right is Brandon Herter. Now we'll see who gets to field this kick. It probably, as I say, will be no one. It'll probably go into the end zone. It's just from the Napa 45-yard line after the penalty on roughing the kicker. Juan Calderon approaches the football, and he boots it. It's going to go down into the end zone and the right side of the end zone, though. And so that'll be brought back out to the 20-yard line. And we'll see what Napa tries to do. If they try to get that passing game going, they lead it, though, 42-14.
I would think Coach Martinez would just like to just run one play, either take a knee and then just call it good and get in at halftime here.
This is nearly the final score of last week in the Vintage game. Vintage won 44-15. Napa has two less points, and Armijo has one less point than the final score from last Saturday's game here at Memorial Stadium. 2 weeks in a row, Armijo has been here at Memorial Stadium. Similar situation happens when you go to Vacaville. Napa's just going to take a knee here and run out the clock to end this first half.
Which is a smart play, Ira. You don't want to risk someone getting hurt. You're leading 42-14. Let's get in halftime. Let's get the kids in there. It's going to be a long halftime with the homecoming festivities. So let's just get it in the locker room and regroup.
Okay, well, that going to be the scenario from here, and we'll keep you updated on what's happening over at Vacaville. In fact, let's take another check of the score as last time
we have it. We still have that 16-6 Woolsey Wood at toward the end of the third period here.
So they're near the end of the third period, and we're just at the end of our second period. So there's the halftime for homecoming for the Napa High Indians. They lead the Armijo Indians of Fairfield 42-14. It's homecoming halftime here at Memorial Stadium in Napa, California. This is Ira C. Smith along with Kent Fry, Jacob Grant, Dino Alessio. As we check in on the homecoming proceedings, we go to our sideline reporter, Jacob Grant.
The band's lined up, the homecoming nominees are out there on the field, and we got a lot of parents lined up on the sidelines, and they're ready to get this thing kicked off.
Okay, well, we'll allow you to just describe when things start rolling, what's happening, if you're in a position to know some of these students that are vying for the King and Queen honors.
I'll be getting the nominee list at the end of halftime after they announce everything.
Oh, not till after the fact.
Nope. And I can tell you who the winner is because I'll hear it, but I can't tell you who was nominated.
Okay. Well, that'll be pretty much after the fact. So anyway, too bad we don't have that list of information. So, Ken, how about that first half?
Well, that was a great first half for the Napa High Indians, Ira. They've executed everything they wanted to do, both on defense and offense. Their defense has shut down Armio, their running game, and Armio's had to revert back to just their quick little pass to the outside. Or, you know, they had Ede made that big run late in the second quarter. And then Napa's offense, oh, my goodness, they are just running on all cylinders right now, whether it be Cortez, whether it be Herter, it doesn't matter who it is. They're just running the ball at will. They're probably averaging at least 8 yards a pop on first downs. And all they got to do is just keep it on the ground, Ira. They're looking real good.
Well, unfortunately, if they even hear the music, as the band is facing the Napa High section over on the east side of Memorial Stadium, and we're situated on the west side, so the we do not pick up the music nearly like the Napa fans would, which you would expect.
Yep, yep. And Ira, I tell you, just a quick update here from Vacaville. With Vintage over there playing Wilsey Wood, both unbeaten in league at 2-0, Wood has picked up a 50-yard touchdown run. They now lead the ball game 24-6 with 1 minute to go in the third quarter. So big, you know, Vintage has the fourth quarter. They need to get offense going over there. Obviously, their offense, Wood has shut down the Vintage offense tonight. So at the end of three, it's 24-6, Wood over Vintage.
So Wood has scored 24 unanswered points.
Yes, they have.
Vintage scored first in that game.
I'm going to take my headphones off and read the names to you guys as I hear them from the PA system.
Okay.
So I'm not going to be able to hear you.
Okay, go ahead. Well, we're just waiting. So when we hear Jacob come up with the information, why, we'll just turn the airways over to him as he's going to relay.
Ben Spadaro. And Isabella.
Getting first names there, so sorry we did not have the information. And, yes, we did check with the activities department at Napa to see if we could secure information, but because of the situation, no school on Friday, no school today, so there we did not receive that information during the week. And it's understandable with the way that things have been altered around because of the wildfires. Travis Rogers is the PA announcer for Napa High football, both JVs and varsity, after Ed Barwick had done so for many years. And Ed continues to be a strong supporter for Napa athletics. So,
Paula Anderson and Daniel Rodriguez.
Okay, good. Get that there. These are nominees. And what are they doing? Are they? He can't hear us because
looks like
I can hear you right now. I have one headphone.
Looks like they're greeting their parents over on the sideline, Jake.
They're greeting their parents, and then they're reading out their achievements.
And they're handing their parents a. Is it a rose?
Yeah, it's a yellow rose, or I guess gold since they're Napa.
Okay. Yeah. All right. A navy and gold rose. No. Again, we do not have. Microphone up there with Travis. We could almost put the microphone there in front of him and see if that would
Malia whatever. And Cole.
Yeah.
Jake, who is that again?
It's Malia and Cole. The last names were difficult to hear.
Now, are they having some of these are what, teachers, huh?
The teachers are presenting them on field.
Okay. And Who nominated them? Do you know?
The student body, I believe.
Okay. And then they select their favorite teacher or something, or is that assigned?
I think it's assigned. I think Todd Pridey has a son, but that's about all I can make out.
Okay. Do I see Troy Mott out there, too, toward the back of that line? I'm looking from the back side here.
Haley Gambrell and Bill Tamborelli.
Okay. You know, we...
Do you know what club they're from?
Choir.
From the choir, okay.
The first one was from choir, and this one is from choir.
Okay. So we know that some people cannot be here tonight, but may have a relative who is on the court here. Would just like to acknowledge them. Kind of a special night. Homecoming 2017. And it's good football weather, too, after a warm day today. There's the...
I'm still anxious how they're going to do this next week, Ira, in the big game. They being Vintage.
Yeah, well, they're not going to have their homecoming presentation at the game.
Okay.
It's going to happen outside of that at the school. They have their parade, I think it's on Wednesday. They're at the school. So they're going to be shifting things around from normal. I mean, quite a few changes being made in that regard. Well, too bad for the Crushers. Maybe they can come back in the fourth quarter. That would show a lot of heart if they could do that, falling considerably behind.
Jake, did you have names?
Yes, we have Bridie's son, Jason, and a girl whose name I will find out.
Yeah. Bridie's other son, Jack, went to Solano Community College, and I think he finished there, and he's going to continue on playing baseball somewhere. And Jason is a very good baseball player as well. He started out as a freshman on the varsity playing out in right field. And just did it.
We have Andrea as a single girl nominee.
Okay.
So we have Michael Alcatar.
The girls who are nominated, attired in really nice evening gowns. And fortunately, it's not raining or anything.
Well, it's always fun to see, Ira, all the guys and the girls all dressed up. And I know the parents are always so proud, as they should be.
Absolutely. So we have the guys moving off to our left, which as they face the Napa crowd would be... To the
Rigby Jollis and Michael McCall.
What group sponsored them, or did you hear?
I know that from when I was here that Michael is from choir, but I don't know about the girl.
Ira, Jake is real quickly. Michael Weber scored for Vintage on two nice runs. 24-14 now. They converted a two-point conversion. So they're within 10 points with 11 minutes and 41 seconds in the fourth quarter.
They're starting their comeback. We're here, homecoming for Napa High.
It's Ryan, not Michael.
And who's with Ryan?
We have Natalie Sanchez and Mitch... I couldn't hear his last name.
Maybe I don't know if it's Haldup or not. He is the really tall guy. I don't know if that guy is really tall. Mitch is what about?
Hip-off.
Yeah. No, that doesn't look like Mitch. Or you could tell him because of his size. Outstanding in basketball, which will be starting very soon. Be releasing our basketball schedule and next week, perhaps. Not next week, certainly the week after that. Next week is the final week of regular season football. And Vintage and Napa, each having hopes of getting into the playoffs.
Carolina Elise, and I'll get back to you with the male name.
Jake, you're doing great down there.
Yeah, not easy to do on that. I think Napa has been in the playoffs like something like 13 straight years or something. I had that jotted down if I find my sheet on it. Here it is. 15 years in a row, Napa's been in the Sac Joaquin section playoffs.
Yeah, not the same without him,
Elise,
that's for sure.
Elise Sassoon.
Say that again, Jake. Elise?
Sassoon, I think he's
the last name?
Sassoon.
Okay. Napa, of course, was section champions back in 2007, and they're the three-time defending MEL champion. But as we know, that is not going to be a possibility this year with two losses coming in. And if
Izzy Goldman and Diego Prada.
If Wood defeats Vintage, Wood and Vacaville would probably each be without a loss and would play next week in the finale, and the loser would just have one loss. Wood has a shot to beat Vacaville, but Vacaville's been improving as the year has progressed. Part of that is because of the tough pre-league schedule they play. There's more announcements being made there. Another couple coming before the podium. So, slowing down a little bit there as far as the routine they have. So what was the cheer about?
That one got quite the reaction.
What was it?
That was just Emily Heron and Colby Kellenhofer. He's football number 68.
Okay. The another big roar from the partisan fans. We're in Napa High across the way. One of the student sections is Napa Student Boosters, and that's been pretty filled up tonight. It's about
Ira, not to interrupt you, we got a ball game over in Vacaville. Weber, Michael Weber has done it again, scored on a 50-yard run, 24-21.
Wow.
Peyton now. Mott and Sean Madigan.
Peyton Mott, quite the softball player. Who was that other player?
Sean Madigan.
No, the other guy that walked off. Was that Troy Mott? Is that her dad out there with her that went off to the right?
Yes, that is Troy Mott. And then Madigan was presented by Joe Madigan.
Okay, yeah. So it's nice. What an honor for Troy to present his daughter. Interesting ball game now going on over in Vacaville.
24-21 within 3 points. Vintage needs to get a stop and get that ball again.
Plenty of time to go. Be a huge comeback if Vintage can sustain their comeback there. Well, we're just about through the list here as far as the nominees for Homecoming Queen and Homecoming King. And I think last year's King and Queen are the last ones that will be coming up shortly that will be the last to be introduced. Well, there were some nice hugs being exchanged there. Well, we're missing some names there. Are they coming too fast now? Jacob, can you pick up any of those? Well, I guess we will wait and find out who the
first place homecoming float was for the juniors.
Another bit of applause there.
They introduced the past homecoming king and queen.
Oh, so they came back to homecoming. Our halftime score, by the way, is Napa 42 and Army 014. see what changes take place in the second half.
Homecoming Prince was Daniel Rodriguez.
There goes Daniel to the 50-yard line. And he's going to get presented by the spirit leaders. Holly Schmidt in her 26th
year. Peyton Mott wins Homecoming Princess.
That's nice. Her father on the sideline there, very proud, still applauding. Okay, Troy, that's it. There he stopped. What an honor.
Colby Kellenhofer wins Homecoming King.
Okay. He was on the football team, and he got in the ballgame the other day, and gets a real strong support from the student body. Yes. Look, he is really taking this to heart and really excited about it. He's kind of stomping his feet out there, just well received.
Emily Heron wins Homecoming Queen.
Now, she was a little slow to react. Who? Me? Did I hear right? Well, our congratulations. She stretches her arms out and makes sure that tiara is on her head correctly. And there you have it, the presentation of Homecoming. So if you can make a note, Jacob, of those names of the king and queen anyway, so that we can refer to Kobe Kienhofer.
I'll get the list at the end of halftime with all the winners.
Okay, that'll be good, and we'll share that with our listeners. We're going to take time out now, and we'll be coming back and perhaps have an update on the score from Vacaville. Here at Memorial Stadium, where it's homecoming for 2017, our score is Napa 42, Army 14. You're listening to KVON 1440, Napa, California, the voice of the North Bay Wine Country, and streaming on the internet at KVON.com. Well, the two football teams have come onto the field after the homecoming proceedings have relinquished the field. And we just referred back to when Napa High played against Wilsey Wood. And Wood won that game in overtime.
Overtime, and we may have another overtime game. With 7 minutes left, it is 24-21, Wood over Vintage at this point in time.
10-7 was the final in that game that was around October the 6th, I think, when the Napa team lost to Wood. That same night, Vintage was defeating Rodriguez 48-0. And Rodriguez, which has had a tough season as far as picking up wins, is the only team that Napa will not meet in the league scheduling because of that one game that was lost, and they will not make that up. But Napa would have had an opportunity to, I think, improve their record had that game been played, as Rodriguez has had some problems in football. The Napa Indians loosening up to our right down at the south end zone. Army O Indians coming from loosening up now to their sideline position down here on the west side of the field. The officials come out to the center of the field. The referee is back in the north end zone, just ready to see about the kickoff that will be coming up here very shortly. So we'll be getting underway with more football action. Napa came in tonight with a 2-5 record, 0-2 in the league. Army came in 3-4. They were also 0-2 in the league. Chuy Martinez in his first year as the head coach for Napa High. Anthony Gonzalez, first year as head coach over at Army. And we had Napa last week losing to Vacaville 40-10. Armio lost to Vintage last week 44-15. So if you compare scores, fairly even as far as the halftime score here with the final score last week against Vintage.
And Ira, I got to tell you, Wood was forced to punt on fourth down. Vintage blocked it. Vintage now has the ball on the Wood 35-yard line, 4 minutes and 30 seconds to go in the fourth quarter.
Wow.
So Vintage has a chance to come back and either tie or go ahead here in that game.
We'll keep you posted. Here's Dino. Dino, we had that homecoming proceedings. Let's see what we have in stats quickly.
Well, very quickly for Armio, 141 offensive yards. For Napa, 204 yards in that first half. And Armio was held only 72 yards until that last play, the 69-yard touchdown run by Eid. Up until then, they had really been held down. Leading ball carrier for Armio is Eid, 6 carries, 65 yards, with the 69-yarder definitely helping his cause there. And for Napa, leading ball carrier is Caden Cortez, 53 yards, 2 touchdowns, and altogether 5 rushing touchdowns for Napa in that first half. And 161 yards rushing for Napa as Armio kicks off.
And here we go. We're underway in the second half. The kick is battled for there at about the 34-yard line. Napa has possession of the football. Like that may have been Alan Estrella who came out with the ball. Napa's had some players with shoulder injuries this year, Estrella being one, Isaac Castrillo being another, and Eric Castro had a knee injury earlier, but some of those are coming around. Some have had contusions and a few problems like that. For example, Isaiah Newton, he had the sophomore that's out there for Napa High.
Ira, Armio was offsides on the kickoff. Very fortunate for Napa. Armio just did a little pooch kick over the front line, and they were not prepared for that. And Armio literally could have, should have recovered that ball. But regardless of the fact there's been an offsides call against Armio on the kickoff, so they'll redo this.
Okay, so now we'll start this second half over as Napa has the lead, 42-14. Juan Calderon from the 35-yard line this time. Herder is deep over on the right side. Newton over on the, Posey over on the left side. And again, the kick goes about the same place, and a fair catch is called for and is made outside the 35-yard line. That looked like Tinnen.
Yeah, Solomon Tinnen, just, you know, he's going to let that happen. He wasn't going to let it hit the ground again. He immediately called for a fair catch.
So from the 32-yard line, no, check it, the 37-yard line is the spot where the ball is placed for the first play from scrimmage here to start this second half. So it was not a consideration as far as a 35 point margin, because it's just at the 28-point margin. So the quarterback remains Cortez. He hands it off to Newton, and Newton's hit right at the line of scrimmage as a sophomore, had no place to go. He was starting quarterback early in the season before he injured his wrist.
Right then, that time, Isaiah Newton, he didn't come in motion hard. He's almost like he's running in slow motion. I think their timing was just off on that. Napa's had great success running up in between the tackles. Let's see if they go back to it here.
A pickup of 1 yard by Newton on the play. As they have LaRue in the backfield. And LaRue used for blocking as they go to the left side across the 45, the 50, get a first down, and then wrestled out of bounds.
Yeah, that was Cortez keeping the ball in the option. Rode the back and then pulled the ball and then turned the corner up there.
LaRue made a good block for him, too, to help give him some yards there that he picked up a total of 15 yards on the play.
Ira, Vintage has missed a field goal attempt.
Ooh.
With 2 minutes to go, so it's still 24-21 Wood.
Wood will try to run out the clock, you would imagine. Oh, well, it's not over. So Here we have quarterback, Cortese, handing it off as Herter gets to the 40. He tries to angle for the first down marker, and I think that Herter probably picked it up at the same time that Douglas Edwards, a little 5'4", 140-pounder, got in there and tackled him. But it was Herter that picked up the first down at the 36-yard line of Armio.
Right, they're just running off tackle. This is where their big success has been all night. Another 10 yards there.
Lattice is back into that huddle. Caden Cortese, 5'11", 165-pound quarterback. He's gone all the way at that spot. They still have Chase LaRue in there as the fullback. And Lattice is the tailback. Lattice is carrying over the left side. He tries to swing out now. He cuts in at the 30. Now swings back to the outside at the 25, and they swing him around by the jersey as he goes out of bounds.
Yeah, good little move by Blattis there. I tell you, he had two moves there. Douglas Edwards finally caught up with him and kind of threw him out of bounds there by the jersey.
9-yard pickup on the play. Nearly got another first down for Napa. They have the ball down at the 27-yard line now of Armio. So the Armio Indian defense trying to prevent Napa from getting another score. Tinnan is outside on the left side, the tight end there. And quarterback hands it off as they give it to Herter again, and he gets to about the 20-yard line. Just put his shoulder down and barreled into the defender. And Napa now has over 200 yards in rushing on the evening.
And that time Herter lined up in the tailback position. Just a little reverse pivot by Cortese going over the right guard. With the fullback leading the way back on backer, or what I call the old isolation play.
It will be Posey going out to wide to the left side. And to the right side is Torres. And they give it again going up the middle inside the 15-yard line as Brandon Herter carrying again as gets... stopped at about the 12-yard line, just shy of a first down. He got about 9 yards on that run, too.
Basically, same play, just out of a different formation. Ira, that time, they're just single back with Herter, but Trent Johnson came from the left slot and just pulled and then led up the hole. Napa does this a lot. They'll run really the same plays, just out of different looks.
Torres and Posey go out to the left side, tight end on the right side. And it is Herter carrying again inside the 10. Then he's driven back to the 12-yard line. But his forward progress got him the first down at the 10-yard line. It'll be first and goal to go from the 10-yard line for Napa High.
Yeah, another stop by big number 44, David Reyes, Armio Indians.
Herter has been carrying on consecutive plays now as they get in deep in that red zone at the 10-yard line. Cortese gets the play from the sideline, and again we'll use wide out to the left side and a wide out to the right side this time and putting a man in motion. And Cortese keeps the ball. He's inside the 10. He's to the 9, to the 8. They grab him. He gets away from one. Boom, he's hit by another and got maybe to the 7-yard line.
He's shaking up on the play. He's got tackled by David Reyes.
Well, kinda, he pops right up.
Yeah.
Very resilient on that.
Reading that zone option, and he cut back the other way. Almost had something there. Thought he was going to scamper in. Good pursuit by Armio.
Ball is at the 7-yard line. 8.5 minutes to go in the third quarter. 42-14, the score remains. That was the halftime score. As the Napa Indians getting set to see if they can add to that margin. Cortese stays in there, and he draws them offside. Boy, he's done that 3 times tonight.
And Napa's done very well holding their water, staying very disciplined, not moving on the line. An easy 5 yards for the Napa High Indians. Now you're looking at a second and goal from the 2, 2.5 there. Three, where are they going to mark it here?
It's be half the distance to the
goal. Okay, half the distance. Okay.
Yeah. It depends on where he had
about the 4.
Yeah, more like the 3, it looks like. What do you see down there,
Jake? Where's it at?
It's in between the four and the three.
All right.
In between. Cortez at the quarterback position takes the snap and hands off. They try to go over a right tackle. They give the ball to the sophomore, Newton. Newton is, but there's a penalty against Vintage, or against Napa this time.
Yeah, Newton was moving in the backfield. He was anticipating the count and was just jumping just a half a count before the ball snap.
So it's going to still be second down and goal to go, but they're moving it back out. It should be right around the 8-yard line, between the 8 and 9 yard line. Napa just controlled the early going in that first quarter.
Yeah, and Armeo's just sticking in that defense. Basically, it's a four-man front. It's the two middle backers.
Napa had three touchdowns in the first quarter. They had three in the second quarter as well. Running out of the eye, and there Napa came across the line too soon as Eric Castro with the right guard spot.
Yeah, Napa was going back on two.
Yeah.
That time.
I don't know if he was going to pull.
Well, he was not disciplined that time, and then they jumped. So instead of five for Napa, it's going to go five for Army. He'll back Napa up again.
Yeah, and the Army is going to take a timeout. So check in and see after Vintage missed that field goal attempt there in Vacaville against Will C. Wood. That left Wood still leading by 3 points.
Right, with 2 minutes to go. So let's see if I can get an update here. Cam Newton, the athletic director, Cam Neal, the athletic director for Vintage, has been kind enough to give us some updates here, Ira. So see what he's got going here. Hopefully maybe there was a turnover or something. I still don't have a... Yeah. Well, no final yet is what I have.
They alluded to him as Cam Newton on the air last Saturday.
Well, you know, he'll be at our big game, Kiwanis big game meeting next Thursday, Cam Newton and Cam Neal. And Thomas Sims, and believe me, Ira, you and I kind of host that meeting, and I plan on going after Thomas Sims and Cam Neal, our two famous athletic directors. I think they're pretty easy targets, but they're pretty good guys to be able to take it. So we'll have a lot of fun with those two.
Okay, so Napa, after the timeout taken by Armio, comes back to the line now, and Cortez hands it off. Then it's Newton that carries, and he gets inside the five, the four, and he's brought down. I don't know if he quite made it to the three. They had about four players riding him down there. And also trying to help him along was Eric Castro, tried to shake one of the tacklers loose there.
Boy, Isaiah Newton, he ran hard up in that hole there. Again, right off that right tackle, that's where they're running up the B gap. Napa High's offensive side, where they're having great success running the ball.
Third down, goal to go at the three-yard line. Newton is the tailback. LaRue is the fullback. Cortez gives to Newton. He gets into the end zone. Touchdown, a three-yard scamper there by Newton, getting over from his center and left tackle area.
Yep. That time they ran the same play just to the other side. Like you said, right over the left tackle there. Newton was untouched, basically.
Yeah. So Napa has moved up by a 34-point margin. We'll see if they can get the extra point. Newton will be holding. Chavez will be kicking. As Napa attempts the extra point, it's on the way, and it is good. I tell you, Chavez has looked good tonight.
He has.
He has done a nice job.
Yep.
But the Napa Indians took 8 plays to go 63 yards. They used 4 minutes and 54 seconds off the clock. So here in the third quarter, we still have 7 minutes and 6 seconds remaining. And now we have that 35-point margin, but it's still an option in the third quarter. It becomes mandatory in the fourth quarter if there is a 35-point or more lead by one team. Then that will be mandatory for a running clock. Now, there must have been a penalty or something because Armio is coming all the way up to the 50.
And, Ira, we do have a final from Vacaville. Wood has hung on to win the ball game 24-21.
Wow.
Wood over Vintage. That is a final.
Tough loss there for Crushers. They give them credit there. They showed heart by coming back.
And give credit to Wood, though. You know, beating both the Napa and both of them, Vintage well, coming over to town, and they beat them both in close ball games.
Yeah, both by 3 points each. The win over Napa was in overtime. So that shows you how close that big game is going to be this year. Here's Chavez kicking off. Sends it way back, and it's taken at the three-yard line. Brought right back up the middle, and then a little sagger step to the outside. Goes Prince, and Prince gets across a 35 before he's ridden out of bounds.
Yeah, our Lyndon Prince made a nice cutback move, gained quite a few more yards there.
We're inside of 7 minutes to go here. We're just in the third quarter of our game, and we should have a final on that Justin Siena game shortly, too.
Hey, Ira, I inquired about the pregame ceremony that you guys were talking about, and it turns out it was to honor moms of players who have had breast cancer during this Breast Cancer Awareness Month.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Jake.
So hopefully we can get a final on that to Justin Siena. Justin they won the JV game 20-0 and led Drake at halftime in the varsity game. Quarterback keeps it again, breaks a tackle. He gets to midfield and brought down in Napa territory.
This is a high snap, and just threw the timing off everything, including the Napa defense. Need was made a nice run out of that.
Yeah. Looked like Alex Perez de Leon, one of the guys in on the tackle after an 18-yard pickup that took the ball into Napa territory. Armio has not had the ball very often in Napa territory tonight. Tariq Eid, senior quarterback. Again, they have Juan Regalado, who is a good throwing quarterback that they can use. They have not used him yet. A single setback there in the backfield. They have not had an empty backfield yet in the game. And the pass is caught, and he holds on to it. What a great catch.
That great was, ball, too. Boy,
yeah,
that was really
Lucas,
nice.
Luca Lewis that went up and grabbed that ball, and that was right in the area of a defender.
Yeah, Dawson Trent was with him all the way, but Luca Lewis.
Yeah, Luca Lewis.
Luca Lewis made a nice catch, but what a great ball by Eid there. Yeah. Delivered it right on the spot.
Keep in mind that he also can run that football. Napa showing blitz. And
yeah, they're coming.
Yeah. Handed the ball off here. Just a
Reyes, David Reyes had nowhere to go on that.
Yeah, just straight ahead. Just tried to trap him, but.
That was a good call. Mott just audibled that one on the sideline to Jacob Richmond, the nose guard.
Oh, good, good. Knowledge there. He, the quarterback, is 6'1", 180 pounds. He sends Samuel King out wide to the right side. And they have a wide out on the left side, Hernandez. And he then takes the snap. He's going to run with the ball, and they get in there and bring him down for a sack on the play. Getting in there. Very
Keel of Frazier again.
Yeah.
Mott is definitely showing why his team had such good success. It's the second play in a row he's called an audible to the line, and it's worked out for him.
Yeah, I'm kind of watching him from here, and he's just seeing what Armio's coming out in, waiting to make the call. Right now he's just making a base call. Well, then Armio comes and lines up, and he makes a call from the sideline.
They're in four down territory, though, at the Napa 29-yard line on this third down play that is coming up for the Armio Indians. We're coming up on 4 minutes to go in the third quarter. 49-14, Napa in the lead. And the quarterback, Eid, hands it off to the fullback, and Reyes this time picks up some good yardage. And he gets there close to a first down. He stops shy of the 20, so he's going to be shy of a first down, but he picked up some of those yardage that they were needing more than 10 yards. It's going to be fourth down and about 4 yards to
good,
go.
Good run there by Reyes, Ira. He slipped the grasp of Jacob Richmond, who had him almost for a loss there at the line of scrimmage, and then he just slipped right on by him and picked up the yardage.
Jordan Smith comes back on the offense now in place of Anthony Hernandez at a wide receiver. King goes right. Smith goes left. And the quarterback, he takes the snap, and he couldn't hold on to the ball. He goes back, and he's going to be sacked way back at the 40-yard line. He took the snap and did not have possession of the ball, and it went all the way back to the 40-yard line.
That's a tough play for Armio there. It was facing a fourth and six, and they gave up about 15 there.
Yep. So a break for Napa, but they're still in their own territory.
I couldn't quite tell if that snap was off the line or not. It looked like he got a hand on it. Maybe it was off line a little bit.
Off of his fingertips, that's for sure. So the Napa offense comes back onto the field now here at the 40-yard line, their own 40-yard line. They're heading toward the right, toward that south end zone. Isaiah Newton coming into that offensive huddle. And Newton is going in there at the quarterback spot. And so he hands off on his first play at quarterback, and they get stacked up, stopped right at the line of scrimmage. As it looked like Tinnan tried to open up a hole there, but it didn't.
Yeah, Chase Leroux in there at running back.
Yeah. So this is the first time that Caden Cortese has not been in at quarterback. Be the second play from the line of scrimmage for the sophomore, Isaiah Newton, working from the... he keeps the ball. He's the 40, the 45. Newton to the midfield. He's to the 45. Hit from behind and dropped at the 42-yard line. Oh, nice fake there by Newton. He kept the ball and takes the ball into Armio territory down to the 42-yard line. First down, Napa.
Yeah, Napa running that zone option with the motion back coming on. The quarterback, in this case Newton, just rides him, then makes the read, sees the defensive crash down, and he pulls the ball, takes off. So good job there, Isaiah Newton.
Yeah, 18-yard pickup on the play for the sophomore. He has one setback there with him, and he puts a man in motion. And he hands off to the motion guy, and that's Blattis. Michael Blattis gets inside to 30 and stopped or goes out of bounds at the 29-yard line.
I think they're
that's enough for a first down.
Yeah, they're just moving the chains. Now they're running outside. They've been running inside. Now they're running outside. Napa High changing it up offensively.
Napa leading at 49-14. Napa last year defeated this team 55-12. So they're coming up close to that score now. 49-14, and Napa advancing the ball down to the 29, and they have over 250 yards in rushing so far in the ball game, and we're in the third quarter. So it will be Newton taking the snap. And then passing out into the right flat, incomplete. That was interesting because out in the right flat, Gunner Geis Schopes had a good chance to pick up some yardage there. But
interesting play call. They just fake the option and they make a quick pass out there.
He has to make sure that that is downfield and not a lateral.
Correct, yeah. That's where you want your receiver taking about three steps up, one step back.
That was your area of expertise when you played and when you coached.
I love coaching the receivers, and you work with the quarterbacks as well, make sure the two are on the same page. But where you really take pride is the downfield blocking on the receivers.
Handoff this time as they get to the 25-yard line, and a spin move there by Michael Blattis as he spins his way to close to a first down. They had him stopped a couple yards shy of that.
And speaking of receivers there, Gunner Geis Schopes was the receiver, Ira, and Mr. David Reyes came over and actually made the tackle, but before he made the tackle, just put Gunner on his backside, then made the tackle.
Yeah.
So welcome to the big leagues. You got to be paying attention out there, Gunner.
Yeah. Well, Blattis is getting some carries in this game, and, of course, Isaiah Newton, the sophomore, getting some snaps there at quarterback as we're in the final minute of the third quarter. Sending out to the left side, Johnny Torres. And handoff, they just try to bowl straight ahead with Chase LaRue.
Yep, getting that first down.
They needed just inches, and it indicates that that was achieved by Napa. Back into the offense comes Ruben Villanueva. He replaces Solomon Tinnen. Tinnen does a lot of good on that defensive line.
Yeah, Solomon plays a good game on the defensive side. Plays some tight end on offense.
Well, we're in the final half minute now of this third quarter. The clock is moving. And moving up over center is Isaiah Newton. He's right under center now. Hands off as they go to Michael Blattis again. Spins away from one, hit by another. Dropped in at about the 12-yard line.
Blattis. Well, he made a nice initial move, didn't he, Ira?
He did. And then that spin move picked him up a couple more yards.
Yep.
That'll be the final play of the third quarter. We will have a running clock in the fourth quarter. As the third quarter has come to an end here at Memorial Stadium, the score is Napa High 49, Army O 14. You're listening to KVON 1440, Napa, California, the voice of the North Bay wine country, and streaming on the internet at KVON.com. Along with Kent Fry, this is Ira C. Smith. Jacob Grant is our sideline reporter, Dino Alessio with the statistics here at Memorial Stadium as we get ready to start the fourth quarter. And since there is a 35-point or larger margin, they will use a running clock here in the fourth quarter. It is mandatory. If that happens earlier in the third quarter, the coaches, if both coaches agree to use it, they can start it earlier. But it becomes mandatory in the fourth quarter. Napa High comes into this quarter with the football at the 13-yard line of Army O. They look at second down and five to go. Napa's heading toward that north end zone. The ball is spotted at the right side hash marks. As the Napa Indians break from their huddle, they are coming out with the quarterback, the sophomore, Isaiah Newton. He's going into the pistol formation. Has a halfback on either side of him now as he takes the snap. And he hands off now as Michael Blattis gives ground and does not, in fact, loses some ground there as he tried to swing out. And before he could make his cut, he was driven out of bounds, but they will keep the clock moving.
Yeah, Armio had that defense well. Blattis trying to get around to the left side, but Armio was shutting that down, having no part of it.
And that was only the second play all night where Napa has lost yardage. And the first one was Caden Cortez taking a knee on the last play of the first half.
Wow, that's an interesting statistic. Double wides go out to the right side. Tight end on the left side. I formation backfield as the handoff goes to Blattis again. He swings out. Now he makes his cut at the 20. He's at the 15, brought down at the 12-yard line. They came from behind and made a nice tackle on Blattis. As getting in there to him was Anthony Hernandez, a 5'8 senior.
He jumped over one defender who was trying to tackle him. He hurdled him.
Yeah, you know, Blattis is getting his opportunity here, Jake, and he wants to make the best of it. You know, he wants to impress the coaches. Hey, give me some more playing minutes. I can do the job back there.
You know, he started out the year doing a great job on defense.
Right.
He was one of the strong defenders. He is a senior. He's a 6 foot, 175-pounder. As he is the tailback on this play. And the quarterback keeps the ball this time, but no place for Newton to go because he is swarmed upon and driven back and brought down.
Yeah. Chavez just chased him down. Chavez for Armio.
Well, the line let down a bit, and they got through the line very quickly. And while Newton was rolling out, he saw the line. Just the defensive line coming right after him and a loss of 8 yards.
He tripped over his center's kicked back foot. That's what got him stumbled over.
Oh, good observation there. So on downs, it will be Armio getting the ball. Keep in mind we are working with a running clock, so this quarter is going to go by very quickly. Armio with the football and... They still have Eads in there as the quarterback. The ball was dropped. There's a – well, I looked out there, it looks like that the Army of Indians still have possession of the football.
Yeah, I think they just scored it out after the tackle. Of course, the ground can't cause a fumble.
Tyreek Eads, a 6'1 senior, has gone all the way for the Army of Indians at quarterback. And it's second down and about 10 to go for a first down. 9 minutes to go here in the fourth quarter with the running clock. He drops the ball. He gets swarmed upon, and he'll be sacked back there. As getting into him quickly was Eric Rasmussen, the linebacker, a 5'9", 185-pound junior.
Yeah, Armio's been having a hard time with the snaps back in that shotgun. Comes your homecoming king on the field. Getting into the ball game.
Oh, he gets a nice round of applause, yeah. There he is out there. Kobe Kienhofer into the lineup, getting pats on the shoulder pads from his teammates. Clock is moving, 8:15 to go. It'll be moving unless there is a timeout or a score or an injury. But on incompleted forward passes and other situations, the clock keeps rolling. 49-14 score, 8 minutes to go, fourth quarter. Eads, the quarterback for the Army O Indians, has one setback with him, and he has a double wide out either side now as he puts one in motion from the left going to the right. He fakes a hand to him, and he'll keep the ball, trying to turn the corner. He drops way out, and he throws the ball to nobody over there. He was out of the pocket, but
trying to set up a little screen or something out there because it's got some linemen down there. Good job on E, just to not take a loss and throw it away.
All right, and he was out of the pocket, so he just lobbed it out of bounds. But he was giving ground the whole time. I mean, the Napa defenders were in pursuit of him. Well, they're moving the ball out to the just outside the 15-yard line. Well, they actually did stop the clock there. Now they have it running again. I'm not sure what the reason was for the stoppage of play. In the meantime, Isaiah Newton has stayed out on the field on the defensive side of the football. Oh, he's had a busy night. Johnny Torres over there on the defensive side as well. He's been going both ways. It's been a wide out. So it's Winry fourth down. And they're going to have Reyes punt this time. Reyes gets away a pretty good punt. They had Calderon punting. And the ball is picked up by Posey. Posey at the 40, his own 40. 45, he's at midfield, down the sideline, the 45. They hit him, he spins around, and almost got loose, but they tackle him around the ankles, and he drop him at the 40-yard line, and then a flag comes out. Well, we've had fewer flags here in the second half.
Right.
They keep the clock moving.
This is a part of the ball game, Ira. You gotta, you start worrying about getting a little chippy, mouthy, if you will. You don't want this game to get out of hand.
Yeah. Well, 45 yards on the punt and a 22-yard return on the punt, but a penalty goes against Napa High.
Ruben Villanueva got a hand on that punt before it left the foot.
And it still was pretty good.
Yeah, he just tipped it a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, we got 40-some yards on that, even with the tip and a 22-yard return. But then the penalty takes it back to the Napa side of the 50, the 46-yard line. In the meantime, the clock keeps moving. 5.5 minutes to go here in the fourth quarter. 49-14, Napa holding on to the big lead. Three touchdowns in the first quarter. And then they had three more in the second quarter, and one in the third quarter. And that's where we are right now, as Napa has Newton staying in there at the quarterback. He hands off as they get the ball to midfield. I think it was Lattice again.
Posey.
Yeah. Kalani Posey is 5'11", junior. Making a few shifts now. getting everyone into the ball game. Posey goes to the sideline now after carrying on that last play. Ruben Villanueva is in there. See if he stays in the backfield. Isaiah Newton comes into the huddle with the play. Clock keeps moving. Wide right goes Brian Miranda. Tight end to left side. Two setbacks. Newton hands off to the tailback. Looks for some running room. Gets very close to a first down. As Johnny Torres was stopped just about a half a yard shy of the first down. Or no, where they're spotting it, that would be enough for a first down.
Yep.
They started to mark the first down marker where it was a little short, but when the ball was put down, it was enough by a pretty good margin there for a first down.
Chase LaRue there on that play. He met up with big number 64, Elias Rojas Cardenas, who's listed at 5'10", 225, and Chase didn't get the better end of that deal there. That was...
Yep, going into the pistol formation again with LaRue back here as the only setback. And the quarterback keeps the ball, and he's going to be sacked as he is swarmed upon. And they swing him down back in Napa territory even. As they had Emmett Espino, who is only a sophomore. He's about 6 feet, weighs about 285. Got back here and just spun around Isaiah Newton.
Army are able to get all their players in here. Ira making wholesale substitutions, as well as Napa has been.
Well, they say that Newton was initially hit, and they blew the whistle back around the 48-yard line. I guess that's where they're marking the ball. But in Armio territory, not in Napa territory. 2.5 minutes to go here in the fourth quarter. Newton pitches it back. It's Posey. Turning the corner, the 45, the 40. He gets away from another 30, 25, 20, and then he's finally pushed out of bounds. But that will not stop the clock as Prince was able to finally catch up with Posey.
Good job by Posey to just be patient, watch the wall develop and get around it, then go up the sidelines for a nice gain.
32 yards brings us to the two-minute mark here in the fourth quarter. This has been a running clock here in the fourth quarter. Vinnie's losing their game by 3 points, 24-21 in Vacaville to Will C. Wood tonight. Justin Siena was well ahead of Drake. Might get a final on that. Napa won the lost the JV game here tonight, 38-14. Vintage won their JV game 46-0. Justin won their game, JV game 20-0. The pitch goes to Posey, cuts in there at the 20, flag on the play as he goes to the 15-yard line and is downed there by several players, including Daniel Soto Preciado.
Yeah, just trying to run the same play the other side, basically a sweep to the right this time. I think we're going to have an illegal block by Napa, yeah, illegal use of hands.
Well, keep in mind that even though they're taking time for this, the clock keeps moving, and we have just a minute to go now. So maybe a play, maybe two plays, but probably the way they're going, it'll probably be just one play at the most because they're taking a lot of time now just moving the ball to get it situated at the 29-yard line. So it's probably be the final play. Blattis has carried quite a bit here in this fourth quarter. He goes out of the lineup, and so does Brian Miranda going to the sideline. Johnny Torres stays in there. And they're just going to down the football now.
Victory formation is your favorite play on offense right here.
Yeah, and this will be the final play of the ball game as Napa puts the knee down. And so that will be our final in this game as the score at halftime was 42-14, and it winds up 49-14. So we invite you to stay tuned as we'll have Dino Alessio give us the statistics in the ball game. We'll see if we can get that Justin Siena final as homecoming is successful for Napa High. Final score here at Memorial Stadium in Napa, California. The Napa High Indians 49 and the Armio Indians of Fairfield 14. Welcome back to Memorial Stadium for our wrap-up. I'm Ira C. Smith, along with Kent Frye, Jacob Grant, waiting for Coach Chuy Martinez to finish talking to his teammates. And then we'll get some comments from the head coach. Dino Alessio finalizing those statistics. Be quite a bit there from that first half, which was long and drawn out. The second half went rather quickly, particularly with that running clock there in the fourth quarter. And there were fewer penalties and all in that third quarter as well. Napa High marching band stayed here through all the homecoming festivities. And just as the Napa fans are exiting to the music of Napa High School marching band, directed by Mike Griondo in his ninth year. Okay, now we can go down onto the field for Jacob Grant. Go ahead, Jake.
That was a good game tonight. How does that impact the team with the first win coming at home today?
I mean, doesn't really impact us in any way. It's other than it gets us a little momentum going into big game. Last week and the past couple of weeks can kind of been a little bit of a mess just because of, you know, what happened with the fire and us not having a game, and then going into Vacaville with 2 days of practice. So this is definitely a good win and gives us a little momentum going into next week.
What's the game plan going into the game with Vintage?
Enjoy it. Enjoy the rivalry.
Thank you, Coach.
Okay, well, that was quick.
Not as forthcoming as Leach.
Okay. All right, thank you. All right, we're still finalizing statistics up here. Let's go over now to Kent Frye.
Well, Ira, you know, Napa played a good game. They were expected to win this game, and it's just like Jesus Chuy Martinez just said there. You know, it does give them some momentum going into the big game, and that's what they need. That's what they want. And come out of here injury-free, and, you know, now it's going to, you know, all the, you know, we had festivities here tonight. Now the real festivities start with Napa big game, you know, Napa Vintage big game at each other's schools, and Vintage coming off a tough loss, 24-21 to Wood tonight. So it's going to set up for next week. It's going to be a great rivalry game. I'm looking forward to it already. JV and varsity both.
Yeah, that JV game, that'll be a dandy.
Absolutely.
Too.
Absolutely.
As the freshman game was last night. At 30-19 was the final of that.
You know, and if you ask me, I kept thinking, you know, Vintage is going to roll Napa, but I tell you, Napa's defense is solid, and I know Coach Leach is going to be looking at films and saying, okay, how are we going to overcome this tough, these front three guys of Napa plus their linebacking core? I mean,
those first two series when Napa was on defense.
Yeah, so Coach Leach has his work cut out, but I mean, you know, these coaching staffs, they know each other. They know each other's playbooks just as well as they know each other, so as their own. So it's going to be a fun game to watch, and it'd be two great guys and staffs going at it, and the kids know each other. This is bragging rights all around.
Well, it was a good game for Napa. They scored three touchdowns in that first quarter and kept rolling after that with three more in the second quarter, and then got one then in the second half. Let's go to Dino and take a look at those statistics.
So first let's give the stats for the Armio Indians. Their leading ball carrier was Eid, the quarterback, 61 yards on 11 carries. He had the 169-yard touchdown run near the end of the first half, which was sort of a broken play by the defense. Chavez was the next leading ball carrier with 27 yards. Nobody else gained as many as 10 yards for Armio. Altogether, 27 running plays, 93 yards rushing. Eid completed 4 of 7 for 72 yards with one touchdown. So Eid was responsible for both the touchdowns, one running, one passing. Altogether for Armio, just 34 offensive plays, 165 yards. That's about 4.8 yards per play. Leading receiver was King, who caught 3 for 52 with one touchdown, and Lewis had one catch for 20 yards. For the victors, the Napa Indians, the stats are way more impressive, as they showed terrific balance. They had 8 different players who carried the ball. the leading ball carrier. Nobody gained as many as 100 yards. So this is pretty impressive, I think. Caden Cortez, 9 carries, 71 yards. Brendan Herter, 9 carries, 71 yards. Cortez scored 2 touchdowns. Isaiah Newton, 10 carries, 49 yards, a touchdown. Torres, 2 carries, 18 yards, 1 touchdown. Dawson Trent, 3 carries, 13 yards, 1 touchdown. Blattis, 7 carries, 48 yards, 1 touchdown. Hunter LaRue, 2 carries for 1 yard. And Posey, 2 carries for 38 yards. So they had 6 rushing touchdowns. They had 5 different players who scored those touchdowns. And for Napa, 44 runs, 309 yards rushing. A terrific performance by the offensive line, breaking those holes open. Caden Cortez completed 3 of 4 passing for 43 yards and 1 touchdown to Alex Perez de Leon. And Isaiah Newton tried 1 pass. It was incomplete. So 5 pass plays for 43 yards. Altogether for the Napa Indians, 49 offensive plays, 352 yards of offense. Alex Perez de Leon caught 2 passes for 17 yards. Herter caught 1 for 26 yards. And that was the 3 passes that they completed in the game. The team stats are equally impressive. For Armijo, they had just 6 first downs in the game. Armijo was 0 for 6 on third down, 0 for 2 on fourth down. So Armijo was not able to convert a single time on third or fourth down. Armijo punted 5 times. The first one was blocked. The other 4 went for about a 28-yard average. Armijo fumbled 4 times but didn't lose any of them. And there were no interceptions. There were actually no turnovers in the game. Armijo had 9 penalties for 62 yards. For the Napa Indians, they had 18 first downs, 15 rushing, 1 passing, 2 on penalties. Napa only converted 1 third down, but they only faced third down twice in the whole game. Only twice did Napa even have a third down situation. They converted 1 of them. They failed on their 1 fourth down try late in the game. Napa did not punt in the game. Napa had 10 penalties for 85 yards. And I'll be back in a little while with a special stat.
Very interesting. Dino, thank you. You do such a great job with the statistics side of the ledger. And this is homecoming, and so we're going to ask our sideline reporter, Jacob Grant, who is a graduate of Napa High, to tell us a little bit about the halftime proceedings.
So the grand marshal of homecoming this year was Roger Ruig, the cross-country coach and science teacher at Napa. The float winners were 4th place was the sophomores, 3rd place was the freshmen, 2nd place was the seniors, 1st place was the juniors. The homecoming king, Juan Toscano, and the homecoming queen of last year, who I do not have her name, presented this year's award. The homecoming prince was Daniel Rodriguez. The 2017 homecoming princess was Peyton Mott. 2017 homecoming queen or king was Colby Kellenhofer. And the 2017 homecoming queen was Emily Heron. Okay. That's the list.
Okay, well, happy homecoming to them. Kent, any comments before we select our players of the game?
No, I think it's just a great win for Napa. They were expected to win, and they did. They came in here, did what they were expected, did it well, and executed well. So they definitely have the momentum coming into a big game week.
Everybody got a lot of playing time.
Absolutely, and they came out injury-free.
How is this going to affect Vintage playing such a good comeback game, but just falling short, missing a field goal attempt that would have perhaps sent the game into overtime?
You know, obviously it's disappointing. You know, they wanted to come away with a win, so you're disappointed. But the fact that they did come back and make it a game, this is a good teaching lesson for Coach Leach, you know, for his kids. That, you know, he'll be teaching on that. He'll be building on that. That, you know, this game is 48 minutes. It's not, you know, just 24 minutes and we decide to play the second half. It's a 48-minute ball game from start to finish. You have to execute every play, whether it be PATs, you know, they're just ordinary plays. It may not seem big at the time, but it will come back and get you later. So it's a building lesson, and Coach Leach is great at teaching and building. So believe me, those kids are going to be ready to play next week.
Well, both teams lost to Wood by 3 points. Napa lost in overtime 10-7. Vintage lost 24-21 after attempting a big comeback and missed a field goal attempt that could have tied it inside of 2 minutes to go.
Right. So, you know, it's going to be a fun game, Ira. Yeah. A couple well-balanced teams, Napa and Vintage, will be facing each other. I still look for a real low-scoring game, but who knows? Maybe the offenses will really get rolling and they'll shoot it out, so you just don't know.
The final on the Justin Sienna score was Justin Sienna 42, Drake 8. So Justin Sienna won both the JV game 20-0 and the varsity game 42-8. Here, Armio won the JV contest, leading at halftime 26-14 and winning it 38-14. Vintage won the JV game against Wood 46-0, but then lost the regular game. That was with James Robert back in the lineup.
Yep. I wish we could have seen that game, obviously, and you know, it'd be interesting to see it on tape or if we can, but see what took place. Sounded like Wood's defense was shutting down Vintage's offense, especially that first half.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they got going in the second half.
Mm-hmm.
They got rolling here. Just the opposite here. Napa was really rolling in the first
right.
half, and then they changed things around and
right.
just kind of went through the motions there in the second half.
Yep.
Okay, well, let's find out about our selections, player of the game. The guy that was running around on the sideline that helped us out, we were seeing numbers that weren't out there. Maybe that's because of the silver numbers on the gray uniform for Napa High. But Jacob Grant, we'll let you go first as far as selecting someone from the visitors here, from the Armio Indian roster.
It's hard because I didn't really think that any of them made a tremendous impact. David Chavez looked good to me when he was on the field. He played well on defense and he ran the ball well, so because they didn't really use him as a wide receiver.
You know, one guy that they were missing, Demetrius Perry, was injured twice early. I mean, he was the first guy that got injured, and then there was another guy that I think that might have been David Reyes, and then Perry got injured again, and he didn't come back in the game after that second injury. So let's go to Kent.
Well, you know, my pick's pretty easy. I mean, I could go with David Reyes, but I went with him last week. But I like Tyreek Eade tonight, you know, because just you didn't have Demetrius Perry. You know, there's your star running back, and he's out of the game, and Dino, not to contradict you or anything, but that was not a broken play on defense. He just made a great read on that zone read, that 60-yard scamper he made at the end of the first half. And I think basically it was all him. Yeah. You know, that he was their whole offense. So, you know, I have to go with Tyreek Eade tonight.
Okay. Dino?
I liked Eade, but I'm going to steal a page from Kent's book and go with Reyes tonight. I thought he played a really strong game on defense. Offensively, he was not – They weren't making any holes for him. So he only ended up carrying four times on offense for 3 yards. But I really liked his performance on defense.
Yeah, Reyes, Chavez, you know, Chavez played well too. Yeah. And yeah.
The others, those are the two that you really
yep.
have to consider. I agree. So I'm going to pick somebody other than that wasn't in on a lot of the plays. But to me, he made some key plays. And he was kind of a wide receiver on occasions, but a defensive back is where he did the good job, and that was Arlandon Prince. And, you know, he wasn't that much of a factor, but really when you look down through there, the two that you guys mentioned, Chavez along with Eads, were the
yep.
ones that were kind of standing out. Now for Napa High, and I think here there are so many to consider. So this is going to be interesting, and we're going to lead off with Kent.
Oh, well, I was going to be the Dino and
yeah.
you know, go last on this one and throw you a curveball. But from start to finish, this guy just played solid football. I wish we had cameras where we could just, you know, go back and review and have an isolated camera on this guy. But big number 14, Keola Frazier.
Yep.
He was a stud on defense tonight. I mean, he just took over that defensive line, and he dominated the Armio offense. No doubt in my mind, Keola Frazier was my player of the game tonight.
Okay.
And you got all kinds of weapons out there in the offense. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm going with the Indians' offensive line. 309 yards rushing, and since no one player gained more than 71 yards, I have to say that really I think I could have picked up a few yards running through those holes tonight. It might not have been pretty, but I might have.
We might have done it,
yards.
Dino. That's
yeah.
right.
So I'm going to go for the offensive line of Napa High.
That's a good pick.
Okay, Jacob Grant.
Caden Cortez looks pretty good to me. But on a side note, I actually have a question for you, Kent. For somebody like David Reyes, you know, when they put him in as a tailback, does the blocking scheme change for the offensive line because of his size when they need to make bigger holes, or do they make the same size holes for their 5'8" scat back?
No, no blocking schemes change. You just have to execute the blocks, whether you got a big back or a small back in there. So good question, but nope, the scheme does not change.
I was just wondering.
So you did go with the quarterback then, Caden Cortez? Yep.
Yeah, the quarterback, and when they would put him in at running back, he was good.
Okay, well, as I usually do, to come up with somebody a little different here.
And I know who it is, but go ahead.
The kicker.
The kicker.
Pedro Chavez.
Yeah,
he was not going to be kicking early on, as they had Jose Acosta, who had a little trouble with a couple of the kickoffs and went out of bounds before getting toward the end zone. And Pedro was doing a good job. The only point that he did not get the extra point was a bad snap that they tried to roll out mm-hmm. then. But he was kicking the kickoffs into the end zone. He was doing a good job. And so for that and his fine extra point kicking, Pedro Chavez is my guy for this one.
You know? I find it humorous. We kind of know each other's style yeah. and who we're going to pick.
Well, you know, you look at some of that line, too. That is good. Are you going to include Cameron Ross, the tight end, in that on your line?
Absolutely. He definitely counts. He did not they didn't throw to him tonight, but he was one of the six blocks of granite, the five linemen and the tight end.
All right, I just wondered if you're going to include him in that. Well, final comments is we had two of our group the alumnus from the Napa High School. Let's see, if it's two or more, it's alumni, so if I'm talking about you individually, it's alumnus. So, Kent, hope it was a good homecoming for you and Jacob.
Well, I tell you, it's always fun to, you know, it brings back memories, Ira. Even still, it brings back memories back in the early 70s. But homecoming's fun. Makes for a long game for the players, but, you know, nowadays they're even involved with it. So, good turnout tonight. A lot of fun. Good win for Napa.
Yeah, let me just mention a event that's coming up on Sunday. That's the Halloween Pancake Breakfast. It is free, but they ask for donations that will go to the fire survivors, and it's hosted by the local service clubs and different others. It's going to be out at the college at the where the cafeteria is at Napa Valley College, and it's only going to be from 8 until 10 Sunday morning. But come on out. They're going to have paint your face or face painting for the kids
yep.
and various other things there. And just a lot on the menu, too. Not only just pancakes, but a lot of stuff to go with it, too. So that is for items to honor our firefighters, the first respondents, and our fire survivors. And I'm just trying to get these things in because the Evolve Volleyball is meeting tomorrow. They have a tryout clinic, and that's going to be tomorrow. Check with Kelly Porter or Kelly Van Winden. They'll give you details on that. The Optimus basketball signups is tomorrow, and that will be from 9 a.m. until noon at Napa Valley College. And those are things I just wanted to mention in there. And tomorrow, the Sports Find is on the air at 9 o'clock.
Yep, we'll be on at 9, Charles Kennedy and I, and we'll be talking about this game. And I hope we'll be able to have somebody call in with a report on the on that Vintage Wood game. That sounds like it was a tremendous game. We'll probably talk a little about the World Series. The Houston Astros won tonight to take a 2-1 lead. Go Astros. And go anybody who's playing against the Dodgers. And I'm sure the time will fly by. We've also got, we can talk a little bit about how the Warriors are doing. We'll have a really good show. You know, it's interesting. All year long, it was looking like the Crushers might be playing for a league championship. Now that's not going to be the case. Assuming that Vacaville beats Rodriguez tonight, the Vacaville-Wood game will be for the league championship. The loser will finish second, but Vintage with a win over Napa can finish tied for second. And I guess Vintage would be 7-2 overall, which should certainly get them into the section playoffs. So there's a lot riding on the game next week for Vintage. For Napa, it's pride and bragging rights, and probably not a playoff berth on the line, but a chance to wreck Vintage's season, which is almost as good if you're a Napa player. So that should be quite a game. Looking forward to that next week. And my special stat, again, just the fact that the Napa Indians racked up 309 yards rushing, even though no one ball carrier had more than 71 yards. So, I mean, that's real balance, running the ball, when you could pick up 300 yards and no one guy even gets 100.
Yeah. Good points. And hopefully we get the American Canyon score. That's a big game, American Canyon and Vanden tonight. That was for first place in that SCAC. So hopefully we get that report tomorrow, too. And Steve Meyer with the Justin Siena score of 42-8 can add to that with some of the information on that. So final comment, anybody? We're going to be on the air early next Friday because we're broadcasting the JV as well as varsity. Big game number 46.
Yeah, come out and see it, Ira. It's going to be fun.
Yep.
Always is. Napa Vintage next Friday night.
5 o'clock will be airtime for the broadcast. Crosstown rivalry, bragging rights. Be a very special night. And come on out. The KVON victory bell going to the winner. Can Napa keep winning? They've won 11 in a row. Vintage thinks they can stop that this year. We will find out on Friday. Our thanks to Kent Fry with his color commentary, to Jacob Grant, the sideline reporter, Dino Alessio with the stats, and Charles Kennedy, our engineer at the studio. It's all been sent your way with the good wishes of our Napa Valley sports boosters. I'm Ira C. Smith, reminding you our final tonight, the Napa High Indians 49 and the Army O Indians of Fairfield 14. This has been a KVON Sports presentation.
Advertisement by the law firm of Barron & Bunn, Dallas, Texas, and Singleton Law Firm, Solana Beach, California.
This message is for anyone in Northern California who lost a home, business income, or tragically, a loved one due to the horrific wildfires. This is attorney Jerry Singleton. My law firm is one of the most experienced and successful fire damage legal firms in California. If your home or business was seriously damaged due to these wildfires,